Blog Talk Radio.
Believers of Atlanta.
Excellent, excellent. And we are really, really happy and thrilled to have you guys with us today. We want to thank everybody who's in the chat room, everyone who's listening in, the people that will listen to the archives and the callers. We just want to thank you in advance because sometimes the show gets so wrapped up that, you know, we get engrossed in the conversations that I don't get a chance to thank you before the show, you know, ends and goes into the overtime. But I just wanted to get that out the way today and let you guys know that we do appreciate you and we appreciate your support. And we wanted to acknowledge you guys. You know, we take suggestions. Yeah, definitely. You know, you all can inbox us, direct message us. Give them your email address, Mandy.
For Black Nonbelievers, it's Black Nonbelievers. I'm sorry, I'm thinking of the website here. The email address is blacknonbelievers@yahoo.com. If you have any questions for us,
in your website
Is www.blacknonbelievers.org.
Excellent, and I can be reached at blackfreethinkers@gmail.com. Or Kim at blackfreethinkers.com. And our website is blackfreethinkers.com, of course. You can find my information for Black Freethinkers information on our Blog Talk Radio host page. And Mandisa's information, you can find that again on her website. And also you can find us on Facebook. And, you know, we'll be more than happy to engage with you guys and interact. And we just wanted to, you know, again, thank you and let you all know we appreciate the support. And there's some exciting things happening this year. Mandy actually will be speaking. Please tell them about that.
Yes, thank you very much, Kim. In December at the American Atheist Regional Meeting, from December 16th through the 18th of this year, I will be participating as a speaker. It will be held at the Sheridan Suites Cypress Creek in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The information is on the American Atheist website at atheist.org, and I will also post the link to the actual event in the chat room. Registration is still it's a critical that we get registration for this event. I'm not the only one that's participating. We have other great people that will be there. So it'll be great if we support each other and come out, and, you know, I'll be sure to have something great to say.
Excellent, excellent, fantastic. And how much is the registration again?
Registration is $99 before 11/20, before November 24th, actually. What the registration will be after that, I'm not sure. But the room rate is $89 a night, and that is for a suite, which is actually a really good deal. So, of course, you know, if you want to travel and share the cost on that, you know, that is, of course, available. But, yes, the registration is $99. It includes the event. It includes a T-shirt as well as the party for the host group in the area, which is the Florida Atheist and Secular Humanist, otherwise known as FLASH.
Excellent. Fantastic. And also another great development this week was your interview. Please share that with everyone.
Yes, this This week I had the pleasure of being interviewed by a CNN journalist about our organization, and we touched on why there is a rise of atheism in the black community. And this was a positive interview because we talked about how social media has played a part in more black atheists coming out, because as we all know, it's difficult to do so in person to our families, to our coworkers, other friends. And so it's been very instrumental. And we also talked about my path to nonbelief. And it will be available in a podcast shortly. And as soon as it is available, then I'll keep everyone posted. And I also
Excellent.
Have to thank each and every one. So I know each and every one. I have to thank Kim for her support, and each and every one of you, because without you all, there would be no BNOA. There, like Kim said, there would be no Black Free Thinkers. And this has just been phenomenal. This has been a phenomenal year for all of us, especially,
exactly.
especially with all of us, coming together the way we have. It's just been awesome.
Exactly. Fantastic. It's been like this. It's been a great year. It hasn't even been a full year. That's what's so fantastic about this whole thing. It's absolutely phenomenal. But we wanted to let you all know what your support, has brought about, and, where we're heading with all of this. And we're definitely going to touch that issue about social media and its impact on the black non-believing, the black free-thinking, the black atheist communities. And that's part of the subject matter for today. But I also wanted to make an announcement. Next year, next April, African Americans for Humanism Conference will be taking place in Chicago, April
2012. Yes.
So we're trying to pinpoint an exact date, and that's coming, but we wanted to make sure that everybody had the information, because they had their first and only meeting was in 2010, and they didn't have a chance to plan one for this year, but they're planning one for next year. And I just wanted to get the word out, because in many cases, the information doesn't get filtered out, in a timely manner or to enough a broader audience. So, we definitely wanted to let you guys know this 6-month advance notice that it's going to be happening April 2012 in Chicago. And as the details are put together, I will continue to promote it and let you guys know. And I'm here in Chicago, so I will definitely be in the house, and I'm looking forward to meeting each and every last one of you. I really am. I am so excited about it. Debbie Goddard is the director of that particular division of the Center for Inquiry, African American for Humanism. And, we want to keep this going. We want the conferences to get bigger and bigger. And, they have some people lined up as speakers, not quite finalized yet, so I won't be able to share all of that information with you guys, but it's coming. So make sure you watch our pages, just like I'll be updating the information for the Flash, conference in Florida, which will feature Miss Mandy. I'll also be featuring, the African-American conference with all the contact information. So just please, keep your eyes open for that. And, again, I'm looking forward to meeting and seeing all of you guys. This is just, like I said, phenomenal. Great year. And next year looks even more promising. So thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Fantastic. Well, with that, we should just probably go on into our subject. But let's talk a little bit about social media. Social media and the role that it's played in bringing about, a rise in people being forward enough and being honest enough with themselves to say that they're non-believers or atheists or humanists or free thinkers or what have you. I just think it's been phenomenal. This is a great vehicle, and, I encourage everyone to use it. I mean, you may not agree with everyone, but it's okay. They have a right to their opinion, but you can get a lot of good information. It's very thought-stimulating. I mean, I've been inspired in a lot of different ways from going to different groups or reading different status updates, people sharing information. I mean, this has just been phenomenal.
Yes, it has been. And with the advent of, because technology is so ever-changing, and with the ability to share information through the internet and through social media that we can use to strengthen I don't want to say the word argument, but our debates and our debating skills, you know, it has been critical to have this media for this outlet for us. And it also gives us the opportunity to network with people from different cities, states, and actually throughout the world with people and people who have like minds. So we know that we're not alone.
Exactly. Oh, and that takes us to the You Are Not Alone campaign. We're still taking video submissions. So, you know, hit either one of us up, and we'll give you all the information. We'll post it again, and definitely. But, yeah, I just love the fact how Facebook, and, I mean, I was even at this when I was on MySpace. Yeah, I had a MySpace page. But, you know, basically connecting with different people, and it's allowing us to find out that, no, we're not crazy. No, we're not necessarily different. And we're all individuals and original in our own way. But this social media thing has been absolutely phenomenal in which we are able to use that vehicle again to contact and network with each other and find other like-minded people. And, you know, it lets you know that, you know, when people were telling you that you were different or that you were crazy, it lets you know that you aren't. Just because you're not conforming to social standards that have been set by certain people, it doesn't mean that anything is wrong with you. They just refuse to see you or introspect, see if there's something wrong with them and the way they're thinking and the social standards that have been set and that they're following. You know, it all needs to be evaluated. It all needs to be looked at with a critical eye, and that's what's happening now, which is what's making this rise in atheism and rise in free thought. Is just making it just overwhelming. It's fantastic, you know, just the progress we've made. You know, it's exploded exponentially in the past 10 years, and it's growing even more. So good job, everybody. Get the word out there.
Absolutely. And also pat yourself on the back, because so often, you know, of course, what religion and also just society in general tends to perpetuate is that it is considered arrogant to look into yourself and to be proud of yourself, to give yourself credit. You also, again, we are doing this collectively. And, again, without you, there would be no us. So you deserve credit for being here and being out, because our numbers are going to explode because you have had the courage to do so.
Exactly. And, you know, again, we're here to support you guys. We're here to encourage you, and if you have questions, you know, it's not only us, there are other people out there, and we want to make sure that you know that, and, you know, you reach out. No one will know if you have any questions or concerns if you don't share that with us, so please do. We're friendly. We don't bite.
Right, absolutely. We sure don't.
Excellent. So, basically, today our subject matter is non-believers from the pulpit to the pew.
Yes.
And I'm sure many of us have run into some believers. Well, they claim to be believers, self-professed believers, but in the back of our minds, you know, our skepticism, you know, radars went off like, no, you don't really sound like a believer.
Right, absolutely. And not only in what they say, but also in their actions. Because we all know a lot of church folks that are either, you know, they're definitely critical thinkers, especially in other areas. And also, too, they're not actually following what they're supposed to be according to their religious text. And they, you know, so we often think that they can't possibly believe in this stuff, especially if they continue to do what they do. They may pray for forgiveness. Or just go to church on Sunday to think that they'll be absolved from whatever they do, but then they turn around and do it. So one could ask the question of how can they possibly believe in this stuff?
Right, and not only do they do it once, they do it multiple times. They do it over and over. Actually, we have a call on the line, and let's bring them on. This is area code 908. You are
Hi.
On the line. Is your name?
My name is AJ Johnson. Hi, Mandisa.
Hey, AJ. Welcome.
I'm the development director for American Atheists, and I was just
calling you. Yes. Awesome. Thank you for calling into the show.
It's great. I said I love what you all are doing, and it sounds great. I listened last weekend with Ayana as well.
Oh, great.
Excellent.
Oh, this is
Thank you.
Awesome.
So I just wanted to add to the conversation and to invite everyone out to Reason Rally next March, if you don't mind the plug.
No problem.
Yes, exactly. Reason Rally, reasonrally.org. It's next March 24th, 2012, on Washington Mall in Washington, D.C.
Okay, yes.
Excellent.
Great.
You were looking forward to it. Question for you.
Sure.
Information, you know, for the people that want to come, is there any specific information about, you know, the hotels and things like that so we can find that information and give it to the people? I just posted the link in a room. So I'm posting the link, but
We're currently still working on the website to get it up and running so that everything's really seamless. But there is a find a room and find a ride option. We're doing something similar to the Rally for Sanity, I believe, that Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert did, and we're organizing big bus trips from different places around the country. We're also trying to increase the functionality of the website so that people can sign up to share rooms with each other, kind of like what you all were mentioning before.
Okay.
Excellent.
So that's
on the website.
Okay.
Excellent. Yeah. We appreciate it. We definitely appreciate it. And just out of curiosity, what are your thoughts on the rise in atheism and free thought within the Black community, but just the community in general, how it's just exploded over the 10 years and the trajectory of where we're going with this?
Yes, obviously I'm a product of that. I you know agree with Sam Harris and the rest of the, I guess, the four horsemen in saying that 9/11 was a huge catalyst for the movement as a whole. I think that it might not have played a huge role in the African American community, but seeing other people come out and seeing atheism rise in prominence in the general population certainly did.
Excellent. Fantastic. Yes, because it's great, you know, everything that's been happening, especially over the past couple of years, again, with the social media, especially Facebook. I have seen just the numbers, you know, increasing daily as far as, you know, like the Black non-believers or Black free thinkers or what have you within our community on Facebook. And it's been great. I'm meeting a lot of different people, and it's been a very, very pleasant experience.
Now, I have a question for you all. Do you think that this rise is people that were in the closet before, or do you think that people are reevaluating their position and changing their minds?
You know, that is one thing I addressed in the interview with the CNN journalist, was that it's not just people changing their views, but it is the rise is more people that were closeted previously speaking out more. Because now there is a medium, there are outlets for us to do so where there weren't,
right,
or where people thought there weren't previously. So social media has given people more courage to come out of the closet.
I agree. There's a kind of a bandwagon effect, not in a bad way, but in a, you know, wow, I'm not the only one. Let me see if I can join
right.
up.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. Well,
exactly.
I just wanted to say thank you for what you all are doing and to, you know, chime in my two cents.
If you can, please hang around for the entire show. It would be great.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, yeah. I'm not doing much. We had a snow day here yesterday, so I didn't even go out last night. So
oh,
no
wow.
No hangover or anything.
Excellent. So what I'll do is I'll just put you on hold, and if you want to join back in the conversation, just press 1, and we'll pull you right back in, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, AJ. Now, that was a pleasant surprise.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, AJ, you know, you all check that out, and you know, I just reposted the link there. Well, I posted the link for Reason Rally. And, you know, guys, check that out. And as they update it, more information will be out there so you won't have to take on all of the expenses. You can rent a room with someone, you know, share a room, share a ride, so you'll be able to get around and do the things that you need to do. And they have some great artists planned for that rally. And I've seen a little bit of the information about it. But, yeah, check it out. Look them up on Facebook as well as the link to the website, reasonrally.org, for more information there.
Yes, and I'd like to add that I had the pleasure of meeting AJ at the American Atheist National Convention in Des Moines this year. And I want to say once again congratulations for her new position with them. I'm pretty sure she'll do very well. But it's just been great so far to have been to meet in person, not just atheists in general, but more atheists from the Black community. And it's just going to be so important for us to increase our presence at these events. And, you know, we'll also, what we're working on, myself, Kim, and also Ayanna from Black Atheists of America, we will be working on hosting more events within our communities, because there's still a huge misconception that all Black people are religious, especially Christian in particular, and we need to show that that's not the case.
Exactly. You know, definitely, you know, it's not the stereotypical angry white male. There are quite a few of us, you know, African-Americans, Latinos. I actually had the pleasure of attending a meeting for the Chicago Latino Atheists, and we had a great time. As a matter of fact, when we met that day, the restaurant where they had their meeting, basically, I met the governor that day, the governor of Illinois, and took pictures with him and the group and all of that, and it was actually fantastic. It was nice to, you know, meet those gentlemen and, you know, again, trying to build relationships, trying to build networks, and that's what we're trying to do. We're interacting with a lot of different people from a lot of different groups because collectively we could get more done. We definitely can get more done collectively.
Absolutely. I totally agree there. And all of our focuses don't necessarily have to be the same. Some groups, their focus is more social. Some groups, their focus is more political. But there's no reason why we can't hit every niche market to come together on this. You know, not everyone will have different ideas and different ways of doing things. And if there are separate groups needed to target and focus on these things, and that's fine. But the most important thing at the end of the day is that we are able to come together, and so that we can accomplish more great things.
Fantastic. We have Frank on the line. Hey, Frank.
Hey.
Making a good start out there.
You're doing great. How about yourself?
Doing good. Tied up a little bit. Finally getting in with y'all.
Okay.
Yeah, well,
good, you know, the internet's here to, you know, help people open up and stuff, because I think it's not a lot of people just converting. I think it's a lot of people that are actually just been in the closet and thought, you know, something was wrong with them, like y'all said. And, you know, from them seeing, like, there's other people out there and stuff like that, it helps them open up and, you know, they got somebody to talk to and stuff, and it helps a lot.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I agree with, you know, both assessments. I believe that we had quite a few closeted non-believers. And I also feel that by us speaking out, we've educated some people and raised enough of a reasonable doubt in their mind to make them investigate their religion and their faith. And in turn, some of them are walking away from religion, not necessarily because we converted them, because, again, we're here to challenge you to think and live for yourself, not convert you, as well as?
As walk by sight, not faith.
Exactly. We want you to be independent. We want you to be critical thinking. You know, we wish you logic, reason, and common sense. That's what we want you to
have. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, but yeah, no. So I guess my question, the first bullet point that I had was, are skeptical believers a silent majority? And I basically pulled that question from the Daniel Dennett article, in which Daniel Dennett and Linda LaScola, they went out and they spoke with different preachers and clergy, and they conducted a study. And one of the questions they had is, are skeptical believers a silent majority? And it makes me wonder, because while we mock and ridicule religion sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we do, they tend to do it to each other quite often, and they're much, much more aggressive with it than we are in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me wonder, you know, is there a silent majority and people are afraid to speak up? But, you know, now that they see more of us coming out and there are more vehicles and more resources and tools available to them, are they now finding their voices and finding the courage to stand up and say, well, hey, I don't believe this stuff either. I was just going along to get along.
Right. I would say that that's a great assessment. And also, too, I know that the Atheist Experience also did an episode on that, and they touched on it. Matt Dillahunty did. And they were talking with, I think there was someone on the show who was basically, he was a preacher, and he was an atheist, but he felt like if he came out, then he would lose everything. And this is
right.
that's a reality for a lot of these people, that they have very real consequences to them coming out as non-believers.
Exactly. You know, not only will, in some cases, some people will lose their, you know, financial standing or safe ground, if you will, because many of them have their businesses wrapped up in their religion and in their churches, but also the social construct. You know, many of these people are multi-generational attendees at some of these churches, and in some cases, their great-grandparents or their great-great-grandparents had helped to establish that particular ministry. So, you know, they feel as though they partly own it, or they are one of the, you know, pillars of that particular community. And in some cases, you have to think about it. You know, they have no power at home. They have no power at work. So when they go to church, maybe that's the only place where they have some power or a little bit of, you know, what they perceive as power, if you will. And if we were or if they were to walk away and leave that particular social construct, what would they have then? They would have to start over. That's scary for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Frank.
Even with, like, certain religions, like, they can't, you know, deny, like, if somebody's like a Jehovah Witness or a Mormon or a Muslim, a lot of times they're, like, real backbones in the community. Like, people that follow, like, Jehovah Witnesses, like, a lot of times, you know, they're, like, well, all religions are, like, cult-like, but, you know, they have, like, their own businesses and everything, and they deal with each other and don't really deal outside of each other a lot. And if you deny it, I mean, like, the first step is, you know, they tell your parents or whoever to, you know, disown you and put you out and stuff. So, you know, it's that fear tactic that religion uses a lot to make people, you know, scared in the following, even if you don't believe it, that fear that, oh, I'm going to lose my job or going to disown me or something. It's that fear still, like, from that burning hell if you don't believe in Jesus or Allah or whoever, you're going to burn in hell. It starts with fear. As you get older, they just put the fear in you more about your job situation or your family structure or your friends and stuff. It's just scaring people into following it.
Yeah, and what's going to be important about, you know, for what we're doing, that one of the critical aspects is for us to be out, you know, that we'll be able to, you know, give information about what people's rights are. People tend to forget that there are certain laws and rights in place which prohibit jobs and certain places from discriminating against you because you're a non-believer. And, you know, so the fear aspect, yes, we're going to have to help others overcome, especially those who are still deeply wrapped up and have business wrapped up in within the religious community, is that there are certain things that, you know, your awareness of your rights kind of becomes obscured and skewered because you've been
right.
in it for so long. But there's definitely going to need to be an awakening of people who realize that, you know what, well, you know, they can't do certain things to me because I'm a non-believer. Sure, they can threaten, and it's a very real fear, but at the end of the day, you know, there are certain things that they cannot do, and the more support we show, you know, the better it will be for them. So there's an onus on us as well to let these people
right.
know that are in the closet and that are, you know, that who are afraid, you know, to be a support system for them.
Right.
Exactly. And I also want to address that old-time religion, if you will, because you have some of these churches that claim to have prophets and prophetesses and all of these different elaborate titles that they give themselves. And so when sometimes when people will leave a church, and, I mean, we're human. Things happen. People get sick. People die. You know, businesses fail, things of that nature. What they try to do is use the person who left as an example. Well, they never would have gotten that paper cut had they not left. They were out of the will of God.
Right.
Let those threats scare you. Those, it's a mind game. And I need for you all to understand and to know that. It's a mind game. You know, whether you got a paper cut or not, it was going to happen eventually, probably anyway, so stop shuffling the reams of paper when you're trying to refill the printer. I mean,
Right.
It happens. And, you know, they use things like that and it's just interesting, but then they also use peer pressure in which they'll have other members or people that you're particularly close to come and basically they'll grill you or they'll apply pressure to get you to come back or to not say anything detrimental or tell the truth about what's happening in these churches, which leads us to another bullet point here. Some of the behaviors that I see from believers, it makes me believe more and more many of them are not believers. They're just professing to be believers.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Posers, you know. And it's a big fraud. But they're saying that because, you know, one of the first things you'll see when someone is getting arrested or someone knows someone is getting arrested, oh, well, they're a churchgoer and they're a God-fearing person. As though their being God-fearing, you know, will convince the police or the authorities to let them go or not press charges, or it elevates that particular person to another level, when that's not the case. Because interestingly enough, in the more religious communities, the crime rate is higher. How does
right.
that work?
Yeah.
Can someone explain to me how does that work?
Right, well, I know I can't, but, I mean, I can only give my synopsis of it or what I think. But, you know, again, the churches are peddling this false hope, and that's what happens when you have when you're perpetuating an entity that cannot be proven to exist, that you cannot put your finger on and say, well, this is what will help your problem. You know, you're just giving, like, buzzwords like faith and, you know, and also, you know, believing in these preachers who are human as well and are capable of some very bad things.
Yeah.
Exactly. And our telephone number is 310-982-4273. Again, that's 310-982-4273. And if you would like to be a part of the conversation and speak with us or have your say, press 1. To let us know that you want to speak up. But, you know, it's not all ministers I've met. I'll be honest. I mean, I know some beautiful people who are Christians, some of the nicest,
right.
most compassionate people will give you the shirt off their back. And, I mean, you know, comforting. And we have to take that into consideration as well, definitely. It's not everyone. So, you know, we don't want to make stereotypes or blanket statements.
Right.
But we have two people that want to come on the line. We're going to bring AJ back into the conversation here. And we have 601. I believe this is Eric.
Okay.
I just wanted to briefly touch on what we were just talking about with the Black community and just to mention cognitive resources and the importance of education. I think there's this fear that we're insulting our ancestors for seeing past the lies of religion. However, I would really argue that we're achieving the quote-unquote salvation that they really wanted for us.
I agree with that. I agree. One thing I say is that isn't this what they fought and died for?
Exactly. Right. Did not have any idea that our liberation would come from a science book and not the Bible.
Right.
Yeah, because they don't realize that religion is what, you know, pacified them and stuff, and, you know, let slavery go on for so long and stuff, because they thought that, oh, if I get whooped and, you know, let my wife get raped and stuff, I'm going to be glory in heaven because the Bible says slavery is okay. So they thought they were doing their deed. So, I mean, they fooled them with that and they followed it. And, you know, finally people started rebelling against it and stuff and, you know, found a way to get slavery to end. But if people just kept following the Bible, slavery, you know, would just go on, you know, because when you get a book and it says, you know, slavery's okay, tell women don't speak and all this stuff, it's crazy. And a lot of times in churches, too, they talk about everything except that stuff, that Jesus died for you and all this, and the crazy parts they never bring up.
Mm-hmm.
Of course not. I think a big part of it, too, is that they weren't teaching women and African Americans how to read.
They sure weren't.
If you can't even read the book, how are you supposed to know what it says? You can just have someone tell you what it says.
Yep.
And
so,
unfortunately, that is... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, that was just my input. I think that there's this fear that we're insulting our ancestors, but really we should not see it that way. We should see it as really honoring their memory and what they did for us.
Right, and I find it interesting that you said that, AJ, because if we talk to a lot of believers, whether they are either very good or a little more hypocritical than most of them will tell you that they have not read the Bible in its entirety. So
right.
The following of what is just told to them has been passed down from generation to generation, and that is also another detrimental factor in our communities.
I completely agree.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I just, you know, to kind of, you know, follow up with that, I believe that the free thought movement and just people coming into themselves and in some cases reconciling the cognitive dissonance that they have within themselves, I believe that this will help us within our community to kind of clean things up and rebuild. Because now without the religion or the crutch of religion, it's going to force us to have personal accountability and responsibility for our actions and the things that take place in our community. I believe it's going to open up a brand new dialogue. I think this is a step in the right direction here.
I completely agree. Yeah, saying that we need to reach back and give back instead of expecting God to should change the psychology of the entire community. It should.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, I mean, this opens up a world of opportunities just in general, because they're always, you know, people are always saying that they want the subsequent generations to do better, but yet it seems as though each generation has gotten worse because they make excuses, because that's one of the things with religion that, you know, that rather irks me is if they do something wrong, well, it's the devil, or they find some type of excuse for it, we have to stop making excuses. And in many cases, the issues that are happening or the person may be experiencing, we need to get to the root of the issue, because you have a lot of bipolar and schizophrenic people with mental health issues.
Right, depression and anxiety, yes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and they're in a church trying to cover up what's happening, and you have members of these churches telling them that they have demons or that they can be delivered. And I say, get them the number to the nearest psychiatrist. I mean, let's help them get to the root of their issues. Go ahead.
Yes. So I think for us, really, the next hurdle is understanding or just really presenting this in a clear and compassionate way.
Yes.
It needs to be compassionate. We need to understand that the way that we present this is almost more important than what we're presenting.
Excellent. Very good. And that's true. We have to definitely show some compassion, some understanding, some support. But in addition to that, you know, as you know, we were stating, or as I was stating last week, I, you know, even though I still mock and ridicule religion to a certain degree, it's my new compared to, you know, what I used to. Now I'm pointing the finger at me. Why? Because I know better, I can do better, and so now, you know, the responsibility falls on my plate.
Right, and one thing I'd like to add to that is that, you know, because as non-believers, we have been on the outside for so long or have been ostracized for so long, there needs to be healing within our own community, because and we also need to help each other overcome whatever issues we've had, whatever hurts we've had, you know, in dealing with believers, you know, whether they're family, friends, or coworkers, or what have you, because that is what makes many of us react angrily towards them.
Right.
And it's understandable because of, you know, the hurt that comes with it. However, when we help each other understand why they do what they do, then it becomes more productive for us, and it becomes easier for us to be able to understand and be compassionate for them. So again, we need to help each other with that as well.
Yeah. I haven't even thought about that.
Hello? Yeah, because I try and tone myself down sometimes, too, because I love to rip into them about stuff. But when I calm down and calm down with them sometimes I reach them and they call back and they ask questions and I see they're more skeptical. Sometimes when you know, you be more gentle and, you know, talk to them about the religion and stuff, they'll listen more instead of get those defensive, and then they'll think about it and be like, well, yeah, really, that doesn't really make any sense. And they'll be like, you know, okay, well, tell me more. What can I read? What documentaries can I check out and stuff? And you get a better conversation and help them out more, because I really bash them real hard a lot, and I don't really get what I really want to try and open. I really want to open them minds and help them, but the way I go about it doesn't really help, so I try and slow it down more.
Right,
right,
we really
absolutely.
Think about what our goal in the conversation is. You know, what was the goal of that post? Did you want to make them think, or did you want to piss them off? Sometimes
right.
That.
Right, and sometimes, you know, we do want to piss them off. I mean, and again,
exactly.
like I said, sometimes it's so hard not to want to do so, because many of them are so arrogant. They are very arrogant in the way they come at us. So, and we're humans. You know, we react when we feel like we're being attacked.
Yeah, sometimes you can't help it when they just, you know, start all that, well, you're going to hell and, you know, you don't believe in Jesus and you don't believe in Allah and this and that. You know, you're an infidel.
You believe
in nothing? You have to rip them then. I mean, but some of them are just stubborn and they don't want to hear the truth, folks. I mean, at that point, you don't have no choice, but sometimes they'll listen.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much of it is, you know, when I was growing up, I was actually taught that atheists were equivalent to devil worshippers. I was raised Southern Baptist. So I don't know how much of it is a pure, you know, ignorance thing. They've just never met an atheist, and they don't know what atheists think. They think that we believe in nothing, or worse, that we worship devils. So I don't know. Maybe we should really focus on the educational aspect of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Because a lot of people are dumb, deaf, and blind atheism. Because, I mean, I've had people with a straight face tell me that I'd eat a baby and drink its blood and stuff. And I was like,
wow.
I like, where did you get that from? They're like, you're an atheist. That's what atheists do. I'm like, where atheists do that? I'm like, where? And like, you're a Satanist. That's a ritual that Satanists do. I'm like, no, I don't believe in God, so how can I believe in something that God created? You have to stop right there. I don't believe in God, and there's no sense in that. You can't go any further with it. You can't go into his creations. I don't believe in him. I can't go into his creation. You got to stop right there. And then they'll start to scratch their head and think.
Right. And, you know, I understand what you're saying, Frank, because in many cases, and, you know, and AJ as well as Mandy, I agree, we have to educate them, because in many cases they don't know what the word atheist means, what they don't know what free thinker means, or, you know, humanist or what have you. You have to go in and, you know, define the terminology.
Yep. And actually, and I'm pretty sure that the pastors, the preachers, and the non-believers that are still involved in church and their activities know that this is a difficult process for many of the congregation members as well. They know that it is not going to be easy to explain to these people that atheists are not bad, you know, that it encourages them to read books outside of the Bible. It's like they know that would be a difficult task. So it's understandable why they would be hesitant.
I talked to a preacher about that one time that stopped me, and I was trying to give me a pamphlet, and we got into a debate about it, and he basically told me that he could not, you know, I asked him, I like, well, how about if I came to your church or something one day and, you know, just told people about atheism and explained, because like a lot of people don't have a good interpretation of this stuff. He's like, I couldn't do that. I'd lose members, and, you know, that's not the right way to go about things, because, you know, what I'm preaching and what you're preaching, it would cause a problem to me, you know. He's like, he's trying to, he was basically doing it like from a, talking to me like on a business standpoint, like, he's going to lose his money and stuff, you know. Like,
well,
you know, that's not right to do. So I was like, wow. I mean, the conversation got off of the religion and stuff so quick when I asked him about coming by, not like during a church night, but just like a study night or something, and telling people about atheism. And he was just like, no, that pulled people away from the church. They get your idea of atheism. I'm like, but why are that people believing a lie? That's not what it's about. You come up, well, it helps my congregation to keep them together. I'm like, wow.
Wow.
Like, you got lying going so you can keep your pocket full. I like, that's real smart. You know, but that was his business point of view, to keep his money in his pocket. So they don't want nobody to hear the truth about that. I mean, like, I see a lot of states now that put up atheist signs and stuff, but I'm like from the Bible Belt, and I'm like, it's like, I don't know when that'll happen here. It's like, I'm like a handful of atheists in my state.
What state are you from?
South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. North Carolina is quite a bit more progressive. That's where I'm, you know, just to be one state over.
Yeah, I know a few of y'all up there, Drea, Melody. There's a few atheists up there. But,
mm-hmm.
like, South Carolina, it's like, it's hard. It's not, it's tight-knit
Bible.
There's
quite a few groups in North Carolina, too.
Bible.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's either Bible, a few Muslims, Catholics. It's not a lot of people that think outside the box with that. You know, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're crazy, basically, here.
I always tell people the difference between North Carolina and South Carolina is that South Carolina actually seceded.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
They have the law here. I like, this is how backward South Carolina is. They have a law here. The blue laws, we just got rid of the blue laws like maybe a month and a half ago, but they came back with this other one and said, well, we can't sell alcohol on Sundays because it's against the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, that's actually a really good, it's not against the Ten Commandments, but that it's a religiously, you know, based idea is something that I've considered, you know, fighting before.
Yeah, because they said, the way it was so wrong, because like you said, it's really not against the Ten Commandments. They said stores can't be open on Sunday, but I like, you let everything else open, because like stores couldn't open here until 1:30 on Sundays. But then they opened the other store and they said, well, because of the recession, we're going to let these stores open, but liquor stores doesn't really need to be open, and you don't really need to buy beer or wine on Sunday, and it's really against God's commandments, so we're going to not allow them to open still. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, so that's interesting. In North Carolina, you can't buy liquor, and you can't buy beer or wine before noon.
You can't buy wine here at 10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
Yeah, those are those old blue laws, those old grandfather laws, you know. But, yeah, no, definitely, you know, that needs to be addressed. But I wanted to address something Frank had said earlier when he was talking about how they basically defined atheists as people who drink blood and all of that. If you want to flip that on Christians, ask them, you know, about their communion, you know, the transubstantiation there. And basically, that's a form of cannibalism, and when you try to explain it to them that way, they get so confused. And it's just really interesting when, you know, basically when you look at it that way, because everything they accuse you of, they're projecting, because they know they're not drinking anybody's blood or eating anyone's flesh. But that's how you can flip the script and put it back on them, but it makes them think. See, it's all about
especially if you have a Catholic.
Exactly, exactly. It's all about, you know, jarring or jolting that cognitive dissonance that's already there. They're already conflicted. And we see that when they start asking questions, that's just a segue for them to be able to ask these questions that their ministers won't or can't answer. Because in many cases, their leadership team will tell them, well, they don't know the answers, they have to look it up. They know the answers, they just don't want to give the real answers because, again, like you said, they don't want to lose their money. They don't want to lose their perpetual income because that's what those people are, and that's why they tell them to go out and be fruitful and multiply so that the subsequent generations will now maintain memberships at those churches. And so that, you know, and again, with a lot of these churches, it's like they have their own little dynasties, their own little fiefdoms here.
Yes.
So they pass it down to their children and their grandchildren. That's exactly what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree. My family is very much rooted in the church back at in our hometown in Jacksonville. And it's passed down. It's something that I was supposed to do, that, you know, my dad was supposed to do. It was, you know, it was very much expected.
Wow.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, we have a defector on the line. We have Eric. Eric says that we're sending him back to church.
Yes. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you,
so
Eric.
I want to say hello to everyone but Kim.
Yeah.
Exactly the way I'm approaching this. Hello to everyone but Kim. And I will state my reasons why. Because Kim has set it up to the point where I had a conversation on my show, and she came on, and it was actually a very good conversation. But since then, I have decided to go back to Jesus. I've just got back in from church, and I'm fed up. I called Kim to let her know on her show that I will no longer tolerate free thought. I will no longer subscribe to thinking for myself. And I will let the minister tell me when I should move and when I shouldn't move. And if I have a problem of my own, I will now pray. This is your fault, Kim. This is your fault. Because when I start praying, I will pray and become stagnant in every method, every way. Because of you, Kim, I'm putting it squarely on your shoulders. Because of you, I'm going back to what my brother said on the show. I'm going to fight the issue of the smashing rocks and the Big Bang Theory. I am going to subscribe to the belief that someone blinked twice and the earth was made and the night and he blinked again and there was day, light, and all this other good stuff. This is your fault, Kim. I can no longer support free thought. So it's your fault. I want you to know this. I am not going to believe in it, that you know the cosmic slop or the, you know, the primordial soup that, you know, put everything together. All of that is crap. There's a God, there's a Father, there's a Holy Spirit.
If you throw it back to those believers like that, they will get so defensive because they'll be like, "There's no way I think like that."
And even going back to what you said about the taking communion and the idea that, you know, people say, you know, I heard Frank say earlier that they accuse you of being, you know, a child killer and drinking the blood of infants and all that stuff. But think about it. The whole process of communion is to repeat the story in the Bible where Jesus handed out the cup and said, drink this, you know, in remembrance of me. This is my blood. This is my flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they take that as literal, and then they want, like, you know, Kim said, everything that they say, they're projecting on you, and you're the cannibal. You're the bad person.
Mm-hmm.
And they automatically think. I've heard countless times when I say I'm a free thinker, I'm a non-religious person. Well, do you believe in God? I thought I covered that. And then they come back and they say, well, do you believe in the devil? Why should I take one without the other? Because they're, you know, they run in the same clique. So,
what about Jesus? You have to tell me to pass the fall in and give them the race.
But, you know.
What about Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus?
Why are you? I came on the show to tell you that I've gone back to the church. I've asked for forgiveness for my wayward actions, and I've accepted little baby Jesus. Again, I cannot deny. I think I've said this to Kim before. I personally believe that Jesus is a philosophy and not a real person, because a lot of what he says can be found in so many other cultures. in so many different ways, but we've taken the mythology, the folklore, the allegory, and taking it to heart. We want to believe. We can sit and tell people not to go see Harry Potter, but we want people to accept the fact that Jesus can walk on water. He can feed people, 500 people, with two loaves of bread and a piece of fish. So that's what I'm going to buy. I want, and I'm going to be the person that calls the show, and every time something comes up, I'm going to say, you know, well, Jesus said, because of Kim. Kim ruined my life, and this is my personal vendetta towards you. You knew this was coming. I tried to warn you the other day to stop in your tracks. You didn't. Now I have a whole slew of things I have to deal with, and because of that, I've now had to reclaim and go back to Jesus. So thank you, Kim. Thank you.
Hey, Eric, your dad. Yes. Has your dad gotten over it yet?
Kim, don't you talk about my dad. What he's done to my family is irreparable damage. It is very harmful. I want everyone on the show to know what Kim has done to my family. Mandisa, I like you a lot. Don't take this personally. But I'm not subscribing to this stuff. If I see you on CNN, I'm turning the channel. I just want you to know. Now, before someone calls in, I just want you to know, Kim and Mendeza, I want you guys to know you're doing a very good job.
A lot of the
information that you put out is very helpful, and I appreciate it. And I love the fact that Kim jumped in and spoke up, and it was great. I got to have you come back. I'm going to set it up. Eventually, I'll be going to a longer show. So just to have you come on and talk about being a free thinker in that area, because that was just interesting. It caught me off guard, and I wasn't prepared to talk about free thought. I was on my Occupation Wall Street kick, and it threw me off. But I had to come in and let you know on your show that you caused some damage, and I want to pay you back in the right way. So, this call was directly about payback. That's all it was.
Well, we love you too, Eric. How about that? And we'll be more than happy to come on your show. You know, you just let us know, set it up, and we'll come on. And, you know, again, we'll handle it with tact and kindness, as we always do. You know, because we definitely respect you and respect your audience, and we understand that there are different people, and you just have to take different types of approaches to get through to people. Because I'm not necessarily trying to anger people. I just want them to think. I just want them to think, and I want to throw enough doubt in there that they'll go out and research it for themselves, and they'll find out that what we are professing and what we are saying is true. And that's why it conflicts with their faith and their religion. We want them to see the difference. But then, you know, the choice is theirs after that. And it takes some people some time, but that's the reason why, again, we disseminate the education and the information and all of that out there, because, you know, they need to know these things. We need to kind of pop that little bubble that they've been living in, you know, for several generations. It's important because there are too many things happening because that religious stronghold, that religiosity, has such a stronghold on our communities that it's, you know, it's deteriorating. It's imploding from within. And it has to stop. Someone has to do something. And, again, like I say, I profess a solutions-based movement, and I'm pointing the finger at me now. I'm pointing all five fingers at me. I no longer point it at them because they know better. Many of the people in leadership, they know better in the church, but yet they do nothing or little to nothing. And I can no longer, you know, blame them because I'm grown. I'm an adult. I have a brain. I have a mind. I have resources. Now it's on me. And if the people reject it, so be it. But if there will be people who will accept it, and those are the people that we want to reach and we want to help, period.
Okay, that's good. I welcome that. But I do want you to know you can come and bring your respect if you want to, but I will deal with you directly, very harshly, on my show. And just know what you're going to get when you get there.
You know what, Eric? I'm a little less
you know, polished around the edges in Kim, so.
You know what? You can always
cast me
around.
Slightly less.
You know, bring that too. I'm not afraid of you or anybody of you. At all. I'm sure I can raise enough good Christian folk to join me in this war on free thought. There's no way that free thinkers should be able to roam the earth thinking of and willy nilly. It's ridiculous.
Oh, goodness.
It's ridiculous.
Where's my lightsaber?
Uh-huh. Say that again.
I said, where's my lightsaber?
But again, good show, you guys. I just want to say that I do want to come back, and I want to just make sure that I express my appreciation for this show, because I tune in as much as I possibly can every Sunday. I don't say a lot, but I do like to listen, and I like to hear other people's opinions and viewpoints on free thought.
Thank you, Eric.
It's very inspiring, and I easily point other people in the direction of this show to get some understanding, because like Frank said, there's so many people out there who have so many misconceptions about what it means to be a free thinker. And they're willing to cut you short. And my whole point is there are a bunch of free thinkers around. Just because we don't say it doesn't mean that we aren't there. And a lot of good Christian folk are rubbing up elbows with free thinkers and don't even know it.
There's a lot to do, man. They do. They sneak and stuff and... They're trying to hide away from Jesus and come see you.
Yep. Okay, you can put me back on mute. I'm done with you, Kim. Thinking folks. What about your business?
There you go. Well, I'm going to put you back on mute, but you know the deal. You know, press one if you want to come back into the conversation. And you all, that was Eric from Common Sense Conversations. He hosts a show on Blog Talk Radio as well, and it's a couple of days a week. Generally, you know, he sends out the invites, and sometimes I'll tag myself, but I'll tag myself more so that you all can enjoy his show. It's actually a very, very good show. So, you know, we just want to send some love his way. He's a great guy, as you all can tell.
Absolutely, and I always try to, I see the event invites, and I think by the time I get settled in for the day, I think the show's about over, but I'll definitely make sure that I make the time to tune in, and also as well as when we will be guests on the show, I'll bring my Schwartz with me, since Eric is trying to bring the Schwartz.
But yeah, so you know, it's just interesting. But you know, that's a prime example right there. We're getting through to people, because when he sent me a text telling me about his dad, it was just hilarious, and how his dad just started, you know, contorting his face and just closed his eyes because I got his dad so confused. And it was just, I'm not trying to confuse people, but I just want you to think about certain things. But again, we have to get the information out there. Like I said, there are a lot of fantastic people out there. We just have to get the information to them. And again, the responsibility now falls on us. We've been pointing the finger at the church for years, you know, decades, generations, millennia, you know. It's been happening, but now we have the opportunity to get out here and make changes ourselves, positive changes. And, you know, and part of that, we have to police ourselves as well, because you have some people that have agendas that are a little bit more self-dogorous in nature. But, again, you know that will be addressed later in another show. But, yeah, so, you know, again, it's just interesting. So one of the bullet points that I had was, are they, meaning believers, truly emulating the bipolar schizophrenic behavior of many of the mythological characters of the Bible? And with that question there, that's where some of my conflict, my personal conflict, comes in. Because, again, I believe that there are a lot of people that have mental health issues. They go to church to try to hide, you know, the issues or the conflicts within them. And the church doesn't help by telling them or not encouraging them to go get counseling. And a new revenue stream for a lot of these churches, and I've seen this come up within the past 10 years, now you have biblical counselors. They've gone to some school, whether it's online or some, you know, seminary school, and they will get their bachelor's or master's or some type of certificate in biblical counseling, trying to counsel these people. So, again, they're telling them that they can be delivered or that it's a demon or that they're possessed, which is extremely unhealthy, and that's not how you address those issues. But in some cases, I guess I wonder if it's learned behavior. Were they looking at some of the people in the Bible, like John the Baptist? You know, I'm not sure how many people can survive on living on milk and honey, but that wouldn't quite work for me. But, you know, just different behaviors that I see displayed, are they truly emulating the people in the Bible? Is this a learned behavior, or is it something really happening with them? So, you know, it gets kind of convoluted there for me. So how can I get angry if they're emulating their Bible and actually trying to live it? But then also, do you have enough common sense and logic in your brain to know that this is not, that this behavior is counterproductive, counterintuitive?
So I don't think that they're necessarily emulating the Bible. I think that the Bible was written in such a way as to have examples of really great and really poor human behavior in it. I think that, you know, the Abrahamic tales, you know, the fact that we call all three of the major, I guess, Judeo-Christian and Muslim religions, Abrahamic religions, after a story where a guy is about to kill his son, no one does that and tries to...
But they do, though. They do. There's been, I mean, probably maybe 15 cases of women or men. There was a woman in South Carolina, maybe about 10 years ago, they drowned her kids in a car. There was a lady that put her newborn baby in a microwave and all, and they said they heard voices from God, and they killed them. I mean, it comes to the point where you look at religion as childish, and, you know, it's like your son thinks he's Superman or Spider-Man or something and tries and jumps off the roof or something. And these people, like, there was a man in Ohio that went in front of his congregation boat, and I think it's like he stepped off into this lake and he couldn't swim and he drowned to death. He was like 30-something years old. He said he was going to, God told him that he could do the miracle of Jesus or walk on water, and he stepped off the boat and drowned. I mean, it's like, you know, like a child trying to, you know, follow their cartoon superhero and do what they did, and, you know, these people read the Bible and then they get this magic voice in their head and think they can do the same stuff and get killed or harm somebody and stuff over, you know, nonsense.
And, you know, this is also
a problem exacerbated by religion. But they have
right.
a mental health problem to begin with. It's not as if the Bible is excusing that behavior in real time, in real society, in the way that most people really think.
Right, and this also brings up something that's very critical. For these people who know that what's in the Bible is a bunch of BS, but yet they continue to perpetuate it because they think that their members won't understand or that their members or that they'll lose money over it, will they be culpable or are they culpable
right.
if these things should happen? You know, so to speak. I mean, that brings about a dangerous precedent because you know that you are preaching something that is totally false.
Mm-hmm.
And where does the integrity come in with that?
Right.
Exactly.
One of my favorite things I do when somebody comes to me about the Bible and stuff, and I'll be like, you believe every word of it? And they'll be like, yes, I read. And when they say they follow every word of it, then I'll be like, I'll grab my phone and be like, then you're a serial killer. You kill people on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I just stop them right there with it. Like,
of course you're interpreting that wrong. Of course, you know, of course. Well, this being taken out of context.
A lot of stuff. You know, you believe every word and follow it in that book, you're stoning people if they got two different fabrics on, if your daughter's not a virgin when she's married, on a wedding day and stuff. You're stoning people for all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting because whenever you try to call them out on what they're saying, they will always tell you that you're taking it out of context. And when you challenge them to put it in its proper context, they can't because in many cases, they haven't read the Bible. You know, a Pew Research study shows that less than 2% of churchgoers actually read the Bible for themselves. And one of the problems with a lot of these ministry leaders is they proof text. And what proof texting means is they'll take a scripture from the Old Testament, a scripture from the New Testament, and vacillate between the two different testaments. And what they do is they take those scriptures and they intermingle them to basically support
create
someone
idea
that they need to have. Yeah, when it, none of that means anything about, you know, whatever point they were trying to make. And so, again, excuse me, I always tell believers, if you're going to believe, read the Bible for yourself and at least understand the proper context. But the number one way to turn somebody from the church is to have them read that Bible, because they will come out, they will be a confused soul, they really will, and they will walk away from it. So that's why I encourage them to read the Bible. Yeah, go ahead and read it.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and read it. The Bible has made many atheists.
I think the best example of this is the story of Jesus' birth, and how there's like this one unified story that we all know and we're taught. But then when you go and actually read what the Gospels say, it's from bits and pieces of different books and some stuff that's not even there.
When you talk about the shepherds were out with the sheep and stuff, I like, if it was December 25th, you know, they have all the animals in a barn. It was obviously from that saying right there that there was no December 25th. If you got your herds of some kind of cattle and stuff out in the pasture, you had to talk about that in the wintertime.
Right.
You know, there's so many flaws in it, but they follow it anyway because they don't preach that stuff in church. They go over the same few texts over and over every Sunday. If you went to a church for a year every Sunday, you would never get through that whole Bible. They read the same stuff over and over. They don't never read the whole Bible. And they don't never read a whole page. They read this part and this part that they want you to believe and don't read it. Like you said, if you study the whole Bible, you understand it's bullshit, it's not real, and the stuff that's in it is crazy. I mean, they don't never talk about the crazy stuff in it. You know, Jesus being born from a little girl and all this stuff. You know, it's the Noah's Ark story. Nobody never thinks about all this. I mean, like, the Noah's Ark story, like, all the animals, it's like 1% of the population of animals that were on Earth in the beginning of time here now. How did they get all those animals on one boat? I mean,
and what did they do with all the shit? What did they do with all the shit? That's what I want to know. Where did
they put it? Man, it was 600-some years old, supposedly, you know, flew to air or something and got a kangaroo from Australia and flew back across to Alaska and grabbed a polar bear and all. Like, how do you get all these animals? How do you grab every insect and everything? And what happened with the fish? When the world got flooded, how did saltwater and freshwater animals live? I mean, they have a giant saltwater and freshwater fish tank on them. How did everything else survive? I mean, earthworms, crabs, I mean, how did all this stuff survive?
Right. Oh, but oh my goodness, you're actually thinking too much into it. How dare you?
And they have this special meeting already, you know, ready and lined up in the chamber. God did it. It means that I don't have to explain it anymore than to say that God did it.
Exactly. But that also takes us to another area. When something happens in someone's life, many Christians will say that they'll pray for you instead of taking action to help you or to facilitate a way for you to get to the resources for help. You know,
and then we
snap. Accountability. Go ahead,
I can't stand it. That pray thing, when something's bad happening to me and somebody's talking about praying, I'm like, don't even talk to me no more about that. That's disgusting to me. That's like when I finally, like, really came out about, you know, atheism myself and stuff. Like, my mother got attacked by two pit bulls, and people were talking about prayer and stuff. I was like, you know, we got doctor bills and stuff. She
she needs help praying. I like, really? I just, people just start talking about, what are you thinking and stuff? Why are you saying this and that? Because that just made me open up and just come out the box with it then. Because I just like, there's no God. You know, my mother ain't did nothing to nobody. She gets ripped apart by these dogs. And, you know, everybody's talking about prayer and God's going to handle it. I like, where was God when she was getting ripped apart in the backyard? You know, now he's going to do something. He should have, you know, maybe not never let those dogs be born in the first place. Why didn't he do that? You know, I just had to open up right then after that.
Yeah, it seems so insensitive at times when people say, you know, well, I'll pray for you, or God had a plan, or all of these things. It really is insulting a lot of times, and I don't think they understand that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, it's very insulting, but also it absolves them of any responsibility for their fellow human, you know, beings, you know, for their fellow friends, their fellow mankind. And, you know, if we're going to go back into the scripture, and, I mean, even with just general logic, you know, this is true. We will always have people who are less fortunate than ourselves. Where does our responsibility come in? You know, where does our, you know, responsibility come in to help those that we know that we can help? I mean, in some cases, you don't necessarily have to help them financially or with other things, but maybe just a kind word as opposed to, I'll pray for you. Why don't you just, you know, why can't you help them find resources? You know, you may not be able to help them, but maybe, you know, you have an in-law or a friend that works at a social service facility that can help this person get the resources that they need. I don't understand, you know, a lot of the mindset, a lot of the mentality. But, again, it absolves them of any responsibility. And that's one of the issues that I have with some of these churchgoers. They'll offend you or they'll hurt you in some manner, and they'll say, well, God knows my heart or Jesus knows my heart, or they'll tell us that we're not supposed to take offense and we're supposed to forgive 7 times 70. And that's the reason why, again, as I say, the church is imploding, because take a good look at what happened with the good bishop down in Georgia. Right. And basically, what's happening is the people are saying that, you know, they don't care as long as they're being fed a good word and they're overlooking his transgressions. And that type of behavior, that type of, you know, absolution, if you will, basically what it does is it empowers him or other people like him to go out and commit even greater atrocities, because they know that they will always have a base of people who will support them regardless. Again, where does the personal responsibility and accountability come in? And that's one of the ways and one of the reasons why I think we will meet some resistance, because people don't necessarily want to be held accountable. But then the flip side of that also is, in many cases, even when we explain to them how they've been hoodwinked and bamboozled by religion, people don't want to think that they're stupid. They don't want to think that someone has made a fool of them. So, I mean, it's a whole bunch of things that we need to, you know, overcome and we need to deal with, and that's the reason why I think it's important that we continue to have forums like this and we talk to each other, and we need to start brainstorming, because this is on our plate, and this is going to start coming at us even heavier and harder. We need to figure out some solutions, or at least try to guide people in the right direction, and, you know, as well as police and guide ourselves, because these are the issues that need to be addressed.
Absolutely.
And I would say that there's something I was just going to say, especially dubious about the way that Christianity absolves us of our sins, that Jesus was the scapegoat, and now we don't have to worry about anything. I think that that's something uniquely terrible about Christianity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
I think it's going to be hard to, a lot of times it's going to be hard for that, because people have such a need to believe in something. That's part of the problem is people have a need to believe in something. They have a need, even when you see some atheists out here who still believe in some type of a supernatural element, like some still believe in karma and what have you and everything. And it's like people have and just feel like they have an inherent need to have some type of out of out of the ordinary explanation for their life and the things that go on, the things that happen. You know, and you got to, I mean, we also have to understand we're dealing with people who take incredible leaps in logic to understand what they believe. These people actually believe that a man who was fathered out of wedlock by God to a woman who was married, who for some reason had not consummated the marriage with her husband, and was born out of season in an area where they probably shouldn't have been in the first place, and then got himself killed despite the fact that he had magical powers, and then asked himself upon the cross why he had forsaken himself, while another dude hanging up there beside him totally believes this guy is the Son of God and is absolved from his crimes, even though they're both hanging up there beside each other. And then, although he died in less time than it normally took someone to be crucified to die, he came back 3 days later, but he still made a sacrifice. Never mind the fact that the Maya in South Africa had no idea who the hell Jesus was. So what was the point of the whole thing? If you had no idea who the hell Jesus was, what was the point of saying that he sacrificed his life for you? Also, sin is a cultural thing. You know what I'm saying? What we define as being this bad thing that, you know, we consider to be immoral. If you go to an indigenous tribe in South America, that is not the same thing. You know, it's not the same type of sin. You know what I'm saying? It's not the same problem for them. So what he considered to be a sin was not a sin to someone else. You know?
If you went to India and, you know, thought about how they think about us, they worship cows. You know, I mean, the average American eats, like, beef every day. You know, they think we're totally insulting their culture, you know. And the Jesus thing, I mean, think about, like, if they did an X-Men movie and they said, oh, they're going to nail Wolverine to a cross and, you know, shoot him with a gun. I mean, he heals himself. Jesus was supposed to be immortal. What the fuck really was so important about him dying? If he's immortal, he's going to come back, you know? Like that X-Men movie when the police shot Wolverine in the head. Nobody's like, oh, God, he's dead. He heals himself, you know? It's not a big thing, you know? It wasn't no miracle he did. He's immortal. He's the Son of God. You can't kill him. What big deal did Jesus do?
Yeah.
He can't die. You know, you hung him on a cross. You could have blew him up with a nuclear bomb. If he can come back, he can come back. It's no big deal.
Yeah, what are you doing, Frank? You're making too much sense.
Right.
What are you doing?
I'm making a few bong hits.
Exactly, but, you know, again, that's the good thing about having these forums and, you know, being able to dialogue and engage each other. And, you know, we have some believers that listen to the show that come into the chat room when we sometimes get a chance to talk with them. They'll inbox us. And, again, it's about having some answers or being able to get answers for them and just have a welcoming type of environment so that they can come and ask questions. Sometimes we can't be so harsh with people because that scares them away. And, you know, we want to kind of, you know, allow them and encourage them to ask questions. Because in many cases, they have asked questions over the years, but the answers are God works in mysterious ways or his ways are not our ways. And, you know, any way to excuse themselves to not be able to answer the people's questions. So, you know, again, it goes back to one of the original questions. You know, are skeptical believers a silent majority? I believe that there are quite a few, you know, skeptics, not only in the pulpit, but also sitting in the pews of these churches. But again, you know, it's Sundays. They know they have something to do every Sunday. They get to go and hang out with their extended family, their family, and, you know, some good friends. And again, you know, one of the questions that I've posed in the past is, while no, it's not our responsibility to entertain people, if you will, but what do we have to offer in turn? So if these people leave their social constructs, you know, if they leave the church and leave their social constructs, what are we doing? What do we have to offer them in terms of, you know, again, education, outreach, support, and in some cases, entertainment? So, I mean, that's the reason why I agree that everybody plays a role. Go ahead, Adrian.
I completely agree with you. I think one of the things that the free thought, humanist, atheist movement really needs to focus on is creating the community aspect of it on the same level that the church has. Of course, they have, like you said, millennia of a head start, right? But
right.
We can still learn from them. But there's this overwhelming attitude that to gather or to organize is somehow to be church-like.
Yes. Right. Exactly. And, again, we have to be able to offer them something because, I mean, I know Mandy and I have some similar thoughts, some similar aspirations as to things that we want because I know we both want to have, you know, to open up a recreation center and to be able to offer services to the community. And, you know, again, in turn, that will create other opportunities. And, you know, it's so much that we can do. This is just the infancy of this movement, so there's still a lot of growth. We still have time to develop things, and, of course, mistakes will be made, and that's okay as long as we learn from those mistakes and we move on and we improve. But I just see tremendous progress, and, I mean, I'm just overwhelmed sometimes when I think about, you know, the direction that we're going in. And while we may meet some resistance, I believe overall that the change and the challenge is going to be positive and it's going to be good. Most people do resist change, but, you know, it's inevitable. It's going to happen.
I completely agree with that as well. I think that we should be prepared for fairly, I don't know, if not violent, but virulent opposition to this. This is something that people hold very near and dear, and I don't think that we should underestimate how upset they might be at the thought that it's not true.
Right, absolutely. And even for groups like ours and what we offer, you know, to non-believers and potentially those believers who will make that transition, we are offering the same type of fellowship, similar, probably if not better, and it's more, it will be more in your face, not that we're trying to force it, you know, as not we're trying to shove it in anybody's face, but that we're not going to hide it anymore, and that you can have fellowship, you can have gatherings without any type of faith-based principles.
With no superstition. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, no, again, you know, we're making progress, and that's the good thing about, you know, the conference in Florida with Flash and the Region Rally, and, you know, you have different, you know, and there are a lot of opportunities, and that's what I'm trying to tell some of the young people, that they need to kind of get themselves situated, and whatever it is that, you know, you happen to be talented in or gifted in, and let us know. Some of us can help you, or we can guide and direct you to the people, because with the, you know, advent of the internet and social media and how there seems to be somewhat of a paradigm shift within society as a whole, you know, we'll get to Occupation Wall Street in a minute, but they need to position themselves because there are a lot of opportunities that are coming down the line, and we want to see them do well. We want to help you. You know, we're reaching out to you, but you got to reach back. You got to let us know. And we're here to help you, and that's why I did the show about the young people. And we'll be doing another one in December. We have to schedule and set that up for a show in December for the young people. And we want them to participate in the show. We want the, you know, some of the middle-aged and the older and the more seasoned people. We want you all to embrace them and to give them information and constructive criticism and a little bit of that sage wisdom, if you will, because, you know, some of them, this may be the only support, encouragement, and, you know, that they have. So it's important that, you know, we let them know that we do care and support them in their endeavors.
Yeah, that's great. How young is young? I'm kind of young.
How young are you?
I just turned 23 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah. That is very young.
Wow.
Well, that makes me feel old.
I always say that I carry it well.
There you go. You know, that would include you as well. You know, I believe on that show, you know, we'll be bringing some people in. I know MC Free Thought, Tracy, he wants to be a part of the show, and more than likely, you know, we'll have, you know, some other people on. And, you know, we just want to definitely reach out there. And, you know, definitely we would love to have you as part of the forum because, I mean, look at you. You know, you've achieved quite a bit yourself. And, you know, we're definitely proud of you and your accomplishments there. And we want to highlight it. And we want to let, you know, the young people know that you can achieve anything if you put your mind to it and you work for it. You have to work for it. No one's going to hand you anything. But, if you know, if you put your hand out, we're going to put our hands out and we're going to do everything we can to connect you to the correct people and to encourage you and support you. So just, you know, stick with us. You know, this is a journey, but it takes all of us collectively to make this happen.
And that's exactly what I've experienced. It's just been overwhelming support and, you know, networking, and the best people that I've ever met have been the people that I've met through this movement.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Before I had even acknowledged what an atheist was, I didn't even know what it was for a long time. If I had said anything about, if I just simply say I didn't go to church, I didn't like gospel music, I've read the Bible, but I disagree with a lot of it, and I got this look like, you know, what? You rape much? You know? And it's like... Like, no, you know. I remember I told a female I was dating, her mother was listening to some gospel music, and I was sitting there, and I'm fidgeting with my phone, totally not paying attention, and then the song came on, and it got really loud, and my brow furrowed because it irritated me, and she was like, "What's wrong with you?" And she was like, "He doesn't like gospel music." And she said, "Mom, like, what?" I'm like, "No, ma'am, I don't." And she was like, "Why not?" Like, "I just don't. I just don't like the music. It's not something I listen to." "Well, what kind of music do you listen to?" I listen to all kinds of music. I just, there are some types of music I just don't like. And it's like, it's almost like you have to like this music. Not only are you black, but, you know, we all like this music. Why don't you? What's wrong with you? And everything. And, as far as Larry just asked me a question, do I believe in demons? I'm like, no. No, I don't believe in demons. I don't believe in anything supernatural, God, Satan, whatever, that whole nine. I don't believe in all that shit, man.
Exactly. No, and you know what? And that's another thing that we have to dispel, you know, the idea that we are a monolithic community. You know, we are a very, very broad community with different purviews, different perceptions, different interests, all of that, and that's what makes it great, you know. And now, there are a lot of people who don't like gospel music, and I understand that. You know, ironically, Jeffrey Mitchell, Mr. P-Funk himself, he did a video of himself dancing to, you know, a gospel song, and that's my favorite video by him. And that's the topic of our show next week. Actually, the Black Skeptics group will be on, so Evo, Jeffrey, and quite a few of the other people, you know, they'll be on the show next week, which should be a good time. I just definitely want to let everybody know to tune in. And, you know, we'll be talking about their group and what they're doing. And I know they have been engaging in different forums, speaking to theists and all of that about their non-belief and allowing the theists to answer questions. And I feel that that's something that would benefit all of us and be conducive to this movement, is to get out there, make ourselves known, answer questions, and then eventually, you know, start having these forums with them so that they can ask the questions in a comforting setting. And, I mean, so it should just be really interesting. I just see a lot of great potential. But, yeah, Mario, that was the young man speaking. He's our in-house Amiri Baraka, you know, writes some of the most beautiful poetry, and we're definitely proud of him.
Yes.
Definitely. We have a couple of calls on the line. Yeah, you know that. 843, you are on the line, and so are you, 314. 843, what's your name?
This is Angel.
Hi, Angel.
Hi, Angel. How are you?
Fine. How are y'all doing today?
Great.
How are you doing?
I was just calling in to tell y'all I appreciate y'all having the show because it gives me something to do as a non-believer on a Sunday in the South where they're playing gospel and Christian stuff all day long. So I just really appreciate y'all having the show and everything.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you for tuning in.
Exactly. Anytime. And Angel knows that she can reach out to any of us, and we're here to answer her questions. You know, we've inboxed a little bit. Great young lady. You know, definitely wish her the best. And 314, who's on the line?
Oh, this is Pianchi on the line.
Hi, Pianchi. How are you?
I got a ticket here. I was reading. It says, I'm trying to sell it. It says, ticket to heaven. And I really don't want to go there. I really don't want to go there. Huh?
Where'd you get it from?
It just appeared at my door. I don't know if it was a Halloween prank or what it was.
Now, is it a round trip ticket or is it a one way?
Well, it says here in small print you cannot take a cell phone with you.
Well, okay. It actually says, what else does it say? Read it to us.
It says a ticket to heaven to meet Jesus. You can't take a cell phone with you. And
no flash photography.
Yeah, how do you know?
For a buffet or anything?
Y'all have one too. No, but you know,
yeah,
I'm gonna tell you. Yeah, all kidding aside, I'm really happy to see that young people do come on the air and have these type of discussions because they're very well needed. Because I only try to listen to African American programs, but these black folks are just on went completely crazy.
Mm.
Everybody in the world is Hebrew Israelites, which is a total lie. We lost, and we this, that, and the other, and that's just not historically true. And they only want to go back to a certain point in time and just linger there. But, you know, that just goes to show these men, these black men are nothing but, I'm saying the ones that just wait and waiting on a Savior rather than doing the things that they're supposed to do in their community in order to take control of the economy and so on and so on and so on. They're just a bunch of punks. That's the best thing that I can say. And it's just totally ridiculous that you find them up in churches with bent wrists and switching and carrying on. And it's just totally ridiculous. But I really am happy to hear that you got young people who have discussions like you're having, try to open up other people's mind and ask the questions. I mean, it's good to have questions. You know, I've traveled all throughout Egypt and for 8 straight years going in and out of temples and tombs from Cairo all the way down to the northern Sudan border. And what these people are saying is just not true. But what decided you to have this type of discussion, if I may ask real quick?
Well, basically, we wanted to give, you know, people in the Free Thought community, in particular the, you know, Black African-American Free Thought community, we wanted to give them a venue to discuss ideas, issues, and also we wanted to open it up for believers or people who are dissatisfied believers. You know, we wanted to include everyone in on the conversation, being able to facilitate a way for a better understanding between the different groups, because there's no need for the ugliness, the anger, all of that. Well, all we have to do is open our mouths and talk to each other. We don't have to agree on everything. And in many cases, many of us, you know, have opposing viewpoints about certain things, but we can disagree without being disagreeable. We can disagree and still leave after the show and go and have lunch and dinner and not take it personal. We're individuals. We're unique. We just wanted to open it up so that people can have a forum to speak their mind and to have certain issues addressed. And, again, we're amenable to having people call in who have, you know, the polar opposite viewpoint. That's fine. Yeah. Call in. But be respectful, and we'll be respectful to you because, you know, we want to have You know, we want it to be civil. You know, we want to have an atmosphere of civility because we will never get anything done if we're fighting and arguing with each other. We want solutions. This is a solutions-based movement.
You're not going to run nobody out of your chat room because they ask you a real hard question, are you?
No, not at all.
I also ran out a lot of chat rooms.
No, but, I mean, we welcome you, and we welcome, you know, people of, you know, again, of all persuasions to call into the show, engage us in the chat room, listen to the archives. They can email us. We gave our email addresses at the beginning of the show. And, Mandy, just give them your email address again.
Again, our email address is blacknonbelievers@yahoo.com. The website is www.blacknonbelievers.org.
Excellent.
Well,
and my email address
is...
Awesome.
There you go. Yeah. My email address is blackfreethinkers@gmail.com, and our website is blackfreethinkers.com. So, you know, you can find our information. And, again, you know, feel free to friend us on Facebook. We're on Twitter and Tumblr as well. So, you know, engage us. It's okay. You know, we don't run from our adversities or people that have, you know, dissenting viewpoints. We don't run from that. We engage you, and we'll answer it. And if we don't have an answer, trust and believe we're going to research to find an answer for you.
Right, and also to just add that our website has our calendar of events, which are open to the general public. So if anyone is interested in attending, whether you're a believer or non-believer, you are more than welcome. We actually started, we were discussing the inviting some believers to our events because we're not much different. Just in the fact that we believe in a higher, some believe in a higher being and some don't, but pretty much on an everyday basis, we are very similar. So it would be good for them to see how we interact with each other and with them.
Well, I tell you, it really is gets to be ridiculous sometimes. I mean, you can't even go to the store without somebody giving you blessing when they give you your change.
Yes, that is very true. Goodness.
And when I get outside and count my change, they usually short me a quarter.
So
yeah,
what you say
goes to the tiger.
Huh? Now, I guess
that's
I do have a
call.
Question before to the group. So one of the things that the atheism movement kind of struggles with is how much of a humanist element we should have. How much should we, you know, try to impact policy and try to actually, you know, change things in the real world to help people. And I think that this is going to be something that is even more of a dividing point potentially for the black community in the free thought movement. So what do you all think?
I believe that, you know, we should maintain some type of humanistic element because this, you know, it's we look at, you know, believers and we see all that crazy, that crazy shit and the crazy antics and whatnot. But I do still believe that if I saw somebody, even someone I did not like, who was in dire straits, like he's being chased by some guys and or whatever, and there's something I can do to help, I'm going to help that person. You know, I always want to be able to do good things for people because, you know, I believe that I'm human first. You know, I don't wear my atheism on my shoulder just like I don't wear my color on my shoulder. I think they're all facets of me, equal in their own importance, but still different facets of me. And so I'm not going to sit here and be inhumane or non-compassionate towards other people just because I don't know them or because they disagree with me. So I do really
want
to keep
that
up in there.
How does that play into the movement?
Yeah.
I agree with you on a personal level, and I think that pretty much everyone that is an atheist is probably, pretty much everyone is a humanist as well. But should that be a focus of the movement and where we put our energy?
I think it definitely should be part of it. Again, I know a lot of our organizations may have different focuses, but I think the humanism element will be very important. For one, it gets us engaged and involved in the community. And we also do need to reach out We still need to reach out to those who are still in the closet, who do face dire consequences as a result of their non-belief. We have to show that we're visibly available and ready and willing to help them, as well as so many other people. So, again, you know, I know some people take the sentiment that, well, you know, live and let live, and I'm not going to necessarily display that, you know, I'm an atheist, and I don't think we should necessarily mobilize and get together. But it's going to be very important, especially as more people come out of the closet and as they make transitions into free thought. We have to be there in order to help them. I think it's going to be very important.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. What about bigger issues like poverty or, you know, taking a stand on global things?
Well, hello. Yes, this is Doc. One thing that we can get in trouble with doing, I think, is scattering the issues and having so many issues and trying to tackle all of them at once. See, we can't do that. We have to focus on one thing at a time, and once we come together and agree on something that we all can be a part of and focus on, I think that's the better tactic to use rather than to try and tackle a whole bunch of different things. You know what I mean?
Oh,
yeah, that is true.
I think that for me, my atheism is just a fertile ground for my humanism to grow. So it's I think we need to really gather around the idea that there is no expletive God, and then we can, you know, move forward on other things. I agree.
Yeah,
but I have to say that I've met a lot of different atheists since getting involved in this movement. I met some people who do not have a compassionate side. I met misogynists, you know, racists, and, you know, mm-hmm. people who totally believe that the reason that especially black people should be anti-religious is because they're racist in their own way. So it's not coming from a belief in God. It's coming from a rejection of what they say that we got from white people, and all kinds of inane mess like that. And it's like, and those are the people I distance myself from. I mean, I think that we can have extremists in any situation, in any organization, to be extremists.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I'm hearing feedback in the background. Is everyone's computer
down?
Somebody
has their radio.
Someone needs to turn their radio down. Turn the volume off or down on your radio, on your computer.
Yeah.
There you go. Go ahead,
the
Ryan.
One thing that I think we all have to understand, too, this is Doc, right? One thing that we have to understand, too, is that the only thing that has us connected is the fact that we don't believe in a deity. And
right, that's true.
Just because that is, you know, the common factor for all of us, we might have Republicans. You know, I'm not a Republican. I don't, you know, I don't have those type of ways or thoughts, but we have those in the atheist community. You know, we have the capitalists in the community. I mean, it's just different varieties of, we're a collage of everything. And so that's what I mean by sometimes we have to simplify our goals on what we want, because everybody's going to have something that they're very adamant about, but that does not mean that the group as a collective is as intense about that same thing that you have. You know what I mean?
Right.
Hey, could I say something else?
Sure.
Yeah.
Here's another point, too. I myself personally take food to people. I do things for mothers who don't have anything for their children. I see somebody laying in a doorway when it's wintertime. I get out of my car, get them a blanket, and cover them up. Don't even ask questions. I donate, give money to organizations, and I'm a non-believer. So I ask, what is it that believers do that I don't do?
But you know the problem with them is they have the mentality that if you don't believe in God or you don't believe in whatever higher being they believe in, that you don't have compassion and you don't have love for people. That's where they come at, that they think we don't have that just because, well, I don't believe in Jesus. So like, well, you're a hateful, no good person, and you don't believe in nothing. I had that happen, a good story. I was coming out of a grocery store one day, and there was this elderly lady, and she had like a whole like cart of groceries and stuff, right? And I stopped what I was doing. I was in a rush. I had some things I needed to go and do and stuff, but I stopped and helped her with her groceries, right? And she was like, "Son, the Lord must have talked to you and told you to stop and help me." And I was like, "No, it wasn't the Lord. I'm an atheist. I don't even believe in God. I just stopped and helped you because I see you was in need of help, and I came and helped you. That was out of the kindness of my heart. Stopped and helped you. I didn't have."
And it's really sad
because get some reward to go to heaven or something. I just stopped and helped you out of the kindness of my heart. And she looked all shocked and in the conversation real short and, you know, probably went on her way. Because, want to agree that God, I had some vision in my head that said, come help her. You know, it was just, you see an older person or something, and they struggle, they got a bunch of bags, you're going to stop and try and help them just out of common sense. If you was old like that, if you see somebody, they got bags or heavy cans and stuff, and you know they can't lift it, you're going to stop and try and help them for a minute. You see somebody on the side of the road or something, or somebody hurt, you're going to, out of sensibility, try and give them aid. A lot of people just don't see that. They think that, you got to have Jesus or Joseph Smith or Zenu or whoever, Joe, or whoever the hell you want to believe in.
That's the benefit of having organizations like we're trying to put together now, is that we can actually get out there and do the things that we may be doing individually, but we can do it as a collective. And it has more of an impact when you do it as a collective than it's just a few individuals doing those things, you know? And
it's tough around here. There's not that many atheists like where I'm at. It's hard, it's me and a couple other people, and, it's hard. Like, everywhere else I see, it's like, an organization or something. But, like, South Carolina, it's kind of hard, man. It's not that many of us, and, we got
to. Well, maybe we need to come to South Carolina one evening and do a food drive, just so that people understand
exactly.
And see that, people don't need that cross to do good things for people. You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
it was a perception thing. People grew up with that perception that, the Lord will heal everything. Without even understanding that, you are bad and good without any deity helping you or the devil, doing things to make you do bad things. You do that on your own. But see,
right.
People are magnetized to the fact to where they don't want to take responsibility. So, when you do bad, that's the devil. When it's good,
yeah.
God helps you do that. So you kind of remove yourself from responsibility.
Actions.
Yes. You remove yourself from your actions. So,
But, there are a lot of still believers who still insist that Satan was the serpent in the Garden of Eden, even though the Bible itself never even mentioned Satan in that area. So, you got these people who swear up and now they know what they're talking about, but then when you hit them with something, like I've been in believer debates, and I hit them with a scripture, like the one about rape or something like that, and they're asking me straight on out, where is that at? Why, is that in the Bible? I'm like, shouldn't you know? Well, no, you wouldn't if somebody told you to dance around those scriptures. Now what? And it's like...
Well, see that. Well, that's how you keep people indoctrinated by... basically cherry picking the good verses. That's how you keep people in doctrine. You don't want them to read everything. You want them to just basically take a sample. You don't want them to take the whole thing. You want them to take just a sample.
I had a call on that line. I missed the end of your conversation.
Oh, that's okay. You can always catch the archives. And I just want to let everyone know that they can dial into the show at 310-982-4273. Again, that's 310-982-4273. Press 1 to speak with us, the host, and to engage in the conversation here. We have about 5.5 minutes left on the live portion of the show, and then it may go into the overtime. So definitely call in, because once it goes into overtime, you won't be able to dial in. And you can also Skype in as well for those who have Skype. Just wanted to let you know that there are other options out there. And, again, we just wanted to thank everyone who's called in, the people in the chat room, the people who listen to the archives and that are just listening in. We just want to let you know that we appreciate you. We appreciate the support. And, again, next week's show is the Black Skeptics Group from Los Angeles. That's Sukibu Hutchison's group. Jeffrey Mitchell, he'll be on the show. And it should be a few other people. I'm not sure if Norm is going to be joining us or not. But if so, I'm definitely looking forward to speaking with him as well. Because definitely we wanted to touch on a couple of different subjects with Norm, you know, definitely. But anyway, yeah, so please go ahead. I guess, you know, going on, you know, what we were talking about earlier today, so the non-believers, again, from the pulpit to the pew, basically, for each one of you that are on the line here, how do you propose that we engage these people and encourage them to step out of their comfort zone? Because many of them are going along to get along.
Well, the thing is that as far as especially black atheists go, we just need to basically have more of a visual presence. I think once the visual presence is out there, people will actually start to, you know, look around and start to investigate, you know. But as long as they're basically in their little bubble and surrounded by their little seclusion and they don't have anything, any resources to actually see that, okay, maybe I might be able to dabble into this and see what this is about, I think, you know, that'll be always be an obstacle with people. Because I know people myself who, you know, are basically non-believers. They go to church, but they don't know where to go to basically get themselves out of the situation that they're in, you know.
And most of the situations they're in is monetary. Just keep this is the good things that you're going to do anyway. And one thing you can do to help yourself is put up a PayPal so I can donate. I was ready to donate right now. But just do good things like you normally do and try to address the problems that people are having. Our people look for handouts too much, especially from the government. And I think y'all are in Atlanta. Black people should be controlling the economy that they consume in Atlanta. And I don't understand why, and I guess it's I should understand why.
Well, church runs a lot.
I guess echo what everyone else is saying about being supportive. Really, for me, it boils down to embracing everyone as people first, and just knowing that gays and blacks and everyone else that's been ostracized is in the same place or was in the same place that we're in society, and so that they should, you know, have some compassion for us as well.
Yeah,
I agree.
Exactly. You know, it works both ways. And definitely, you know, we need to get out there. And again, you know, I believe sometimes, even when they come at us with all of that antagonism regarding you're going to hell or what have you, we need to learn how to take control of the conversation. And that's why sometimes I'll post different things about, you know, arguments, how to formulate an argument, and, you know, in some cases, how to control a conversation. Because there are ways that you can kind of get them to calm down and to speak with you like, you know, they have no sense. And because they're so used to being attacked that automatically they come out fighting. That happens on both ends. But, you know, again, you know, just want to be more welcoming, more engaging, more supportive. And, again, you know, if you have someone that's just outright attacking you and you're irrational to the nth degree, then there are times when you just have to shut the conversation down and act. It happens to the best of us.
Somebody got to turn the computer down or off.
Yeah, because I'm getting feedback. Mm-hmm. There you go. So, yeah, definitely. So, you know, it's a lot of progress to be made. We're making, you know, headway, and we're a lot further than where we were, you know, a year or two ago, and we have a lot further to go. But, you know, again, we have these non-believers from the pulpit to the pew. Yet again, I just find it interesting. And if y'all get a chance, check out that Daniel Dennett article because, you know, it's fantastic. From my understanding, Linda Lascola will be speaking in Philadelphia at the Free Thought Society. And I, you know, wish I could get there to see that. But those of you who will have a chance to possibly go and meet her, she'll definitely be speaking about non-believers in the pulpit, if you will. And I also believe that's going to be Sikivu's subject matter for a conference they're having for the Center for Inquiry. So this is something that definitely needs to be addressed across the board. So we're making progress. We're making progress, slowly but surely. But, yeah, as us, as non-believers, free thinkers, atheists, however you may want to, you know, whatever terminology you may use to describe yourself, we definitely, you know, we need to move forward and work collectively. And, yes, the only thing we may have in common is the fact that we don't believe in a deity or a higher being or a creator or what have you. But, you know, some of us want to go out into the community and work and help. And, you know, and those who don't, that's fine, too. You know, because, again, choices, you have choices. But, you know, again, collectively, you know, where do we go from here? You know, we're not necessarily stagnated. We have different people playing different roles, doing different things. But, you know, eventually, you know, we're going to end up intertwined and working with each other in some capacity or another. And more heads together is better than just one. I hear, you know, kind of flailing in the wind.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Can I say something, please?
Sure.
Yes, you may.
I don't think as atheists that we should lash out at people just because of their religions and stuff like that. I think that we should be helpful and show them that we're regular people just like they are because they already have, you know, some stuff going on in their head that we're not regular and we worship the devil and stuff like that. So I just really think that we should just, you know, show them that are, you know, just like, well, no, I'm not going to say just like they are, you know, kind and sweet and gentle and stuff like that. I'm sorry about the background.
Yeah, and again, that touches on, that goes back to what I said earlier about us in the free thought community healing from any baggage that we carry from being disassociated by and ostracized by believers in the past because, you know, the more we heal, the more we can help others heal. Yeah, we definitely touched on that earlier.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I'm going to do the thing and say what no one really wants to do, but this is a long game. This is not something that is necessarily going to happen in the next 10 years. I think we should keep in mind that we are doing exponentially better. I mean, if you look at the numbers, our rise is not we shouldn't expect that it will always be happening at this really fast rate.
Right.
We should really settle in and be prepared for the long haul, not in a pessimistic way, but in a, you know, a determined way.
Right. Absolutely.
No, well, the ball game has changed. 100 years ago, we would have been killed. This phone conversation. So that's a role right there, because we would have been witches and warlocks.
Right. To bring it back to crusades. But no, AJ is absolutely correct. You know, we have to look at the big picture, and we have to look at the long-term effects. And that's the reason why.
Look at life for our kids. Basically, because, you know, we ain't going to change nothing, you know, maybe a time or two older. Something that's going to be better, you know, for our children and stuff, you know, because this, I mean, America's basically Christian organized and ran, and, you know, it's going to be our kids we grow, we train and teach and stuff that's going to, you know, make a change in their lives. I mean, things for us is... We're going to, you know, be the stepping stones for them, really. It's not going to really make a difference for us. We got the next generation.
Exactly. You know, we have to look out for the greater good of all. And, again, we have to look at the big picture. We have to look at what, you know, we have to move forward. But we also have to, you know, be visionaries, if you will. And basically, again, with any corporation, they have what's called forecasting software, you know, forecasting, projections, what have you. And that's how they're able to determine their financials, you know, whether it's their budget or the dividends they're going to pay out. You know, we have to look at it, certain things, in a more corporate type of mindset. You know, what are our projections as far as our movements, as far as our progress within the free thought community into the future? And we have to lay the groundwork. We have to build a solid foundation so that the subsequent, you know, generations behind us and, you know, people that we mentor, because we need, definitely need a mentorship program, you know, people that we mentor and leave in charge when we get to the point where it's time for us to retire. We may, you know, give them, you know, oversee certain things and help them, but eventually we're going to have to allow someone else to grab the reins. We have to start working on that, because, you know, some of us are spring chickens and some of us not so much. And it's okay. You know, it really is. It's okay. But, you know, these are things that we have to do, and it's just, it's really important, because we have the opportunities now. The technology is, you know, exploding, you know, it's improving, you know, again, exponentially. And this is the main reason why the free thought community has grown exponentially, because of the technology and us being able to convey ideas and, you know, share our experiences and connect with one another. And it's only going to improve. It's phenomenal, some of the things that they're sitting on. They just can't release it because they have to sell the stuff that's currently out here. But just, you know, wrap your mind, you know, artificial intelligence, teleport. I mean, they're working on so much. But we're going to pull another call in. Area code 443, you are now on the line. What's your name?
It's Raina. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Raina.
Hey, Raina.
I don't have a comment right now. I did, but I don't want to go back to it.
But I think
That we should really take care of and really appreciate the technology that has brought us together. And, again, not to be pessimistic or anything like that, but that we need to be mindful of uprises like Occupy Wall Street. Not that it's bad, but in civil unrest being a potential bad thing for atheists. Like if the internet were to go down, you know, if something were to happen like that, that would be a really bad thing. Like we would be set back a lot more than other groups.
Exactly.
Well, thing is, technology is such a booming industry. Once you start messing around with it and trying back to what it was before, I think people's lives are so changed that that's something that they really don't want to have happen. And that's the one good about technology. Technology cannot be harnessed. See, they can moderate a lot of things, but then they're trying to figure out a way to moderate the internet, but I don't think that'll ever happen, not in our lifetime anyway. And the dramatic incline in science over the last 100 years, I think, is a direct correlation of the emergence of the free thought community. I think so, because the more you have, and it's not a situation where it's imbalanced, but it just happens that a lot of scientists or people who are in the technology field tend to be more of a free thought type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Than
it's
kind of like the chicken or the egg.
Huh?
You know, I said it's kind of like, is it the chicken or the egg? You know, does one beget the other, or are they just correlated in a way? You know what I mean? I don't know that the rise in the free thought movement is because of the rise in science, or if the rise in science.
That's kind of what we're saying now when we say that the use of the emergence of the internet is one of the reasons why we're able to do what we're doing now. That is a direct correlation of science. We're using a scientific invention. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So there is correlation. I don't think we could do this 100 years ago. That's why I made that statement before.
I mean, as African Americans, I'm very aware of how lucky I am to be in this place and in this time. I could not live the life that I live if I were born 200 years ago and, you know, somewhere else. It would be a very different life.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, It's all about communication and stuff. I mean, that's, you know, to communicate and speak to each other because, like, certain places and stuff, you know, you don't have no agnostics, free thinkers, atheists and stuff in certain communities and stuff. But through the internet, you know, I got atheists I speak to that are, you know, in Israel and Australia and Japan and Thailand and all over the world and stuff. You know, you can talk and speak to people and help people all over the world through the internet. I mean, without that, a lot of people wouldn't come out and a lot of people wouldn't know. They just, you know, think they were witches and warlocks and stuff because that's what they were preaching in their country. And the internet's helped, you know, free a lot of people's minds as well.
Yeah, I don't think behind the computer or the internet or anything. It might be helpful and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What was that again? I'm sorry.
And I think that you should go out and about and beyond just the internet to help people.
Well, yeah, we should. I mean, we should. We got to look past disagreements and stuff, and we got to go out. Like, what I really want in our community, I want to do door knocking. I really want to have, like, 25 people.
Here we go.
Mormons, I want us to come and door knock and, you know, and preach like they preach, because I have Mormons come to my door, like, in a month at least three times, knocking on my door, bothering me about my stuff.
Uh-huh.
I have to bring them in and wreck them on it.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I'm sorry, Mandisa, have you heard the good news? There is no God.
Yeah.
No God. Do you have a moment? Can I come in and sit with you?
I'm making a God right now. I'm stirring a pot of spaghetti, and he's coming together right now. I've got a little zucchini and mushrooms and little squash and stuff in there, and he's coming together. I mean, he's going to be a powerful guy when I get there.
What you going to use for thunder and lightning?
Can I just say, I don't think that's a good idea. I just want to go on the record.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea either.
You might put Granny in a coma behind that one.
That was really funny, though. When I do think about it every time somebody wakes me up on a Saturday morning.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on the atheist door knocking movement. I want to come and knock on their doors. Like, I mean, these people are coming knock on my door like 7 in the morning on a Saturday morning and stuff, you know. I've been hustling all day, all Friday night and stuff, and then I'm in the bed asleep, done deal with whatever, and I'm asleep, and I ain't trying to get up, and then here come, you know, at 7:02 in the morning. We like to bring you the prophecy of Joseph Smith. I'm like, look, dog, unless you got a blunt or a Budweiser, I don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah, see, that's a fundamental difference between religion and the free thought situation, because religion is taught to spread their word, you know what I mean, to spread their doctrine. As a free thinking person, I don't want to spread any word. I would rather just be myself. And if we need to spread anything, I would just like to just promote what we are, not necessarily preach what we are to people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And to piggyback on that, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, you know, again, you know, we can disseminate the information and educate people, but I feel that we will be more effective to allow the people to come to us.
That's right.
I don't want to teach the end result.
Right, yeah. Because the primary goal is to have people think for themselves and to be self-sustaining and to come to their own level of critical thinking. You know, we can't make people do that. You know, it has to be, it's a gradual process, and it's something that we're not all on the same level, and that's okay.
Well, you got to teach your children too now. You got to teach your children also, because my grandson's 13 years old. He's been, you know, I remember when he was 11. He said, "Lady, I don't believe in Jesus." And please, I'm a child.
Him.
So
yes.
You tell me the truth. But
great.
You have to have, if your children, I mean, other children need to see your children playing and doing everything that they do and have that feeling and seeing
well,
that
it's
not
the same
that,
as, it's the
that
same
they're
as adults. Adults need to see other adults living their life and enjoying life the same, you know, as kids see. Because it's
that's
about
true.
Positive reinforcement. Because if you're brought up thinking that, oh, if I don't believe in God, I'm going to hell, and you see that this person is not even in, dealing with your same situation and they're living a happy life and productive life, that would make you think twice about what the fuck am I doing? I might be,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Exactly.
And a lot of times... but a lot of times the struggle is with the individual person because religion teaches you to basically not believe and trust yourself. See, they don't want
mm-hmm.
you to believe and trust in yourself. They want you to believe and trust in Jesus or God or Yahweh or whatever or Allah. They never want you to be self-proficient.
You don't
go out there
no and type of do all this and do all that, you know what I'm saying? But if you're out in the open and somebody's, you know, asking you questions and all this stuff, I mean, don't fake it like you're not an atheist. I mean, that's just what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? You open to spread it on the internet and on the computer and stuff, not pointing fingers or anything at anybody. But then in person, if you go out to the grocery store, then you can't even say what you are. I mean, that's just what
you
I'm
know,
saying about it. What you are, be proud of who you are. You know, claim what you're,
yeah.
what you are.
Yeah, I've never been the type.
The conversation
I
comes
walk
up.
Around
she
like
said
that.
The conversation comes up to, you know, bring it up. You know, like, you don't got to broadcast yourself, but if you know somebody, you know, ask or something like that, to bring it up and let it be known. You know, you don't got to go out there with
it. Yeah, it's like I'm not going to hide it anymore.
I've never hidden it, though. I've never hidden it. If someone, you know, I just don't walk around with it on my shoulder, like, every time
oh,
I
yeah,
go. Like, I know people on LD who ride that shit 24/7 all day long. It's like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't have anything else, man. Did you watch Family Guy, man, or something? You know? But when I go out there, like, I posted in the group several times that there's a lady up there who always tries to talk to me about the Bible. And I've told her straight on up, I'm an atheist. I told anyone who asked, you know, at work, I'm an atheist. You know, straight on up. And, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to make a big deal about it, but I'm just telling you straight on up what I am. I don't believe this shit, so just keep moving.
Yeah.
Right. And that should be what everyone is able to do. They can decide for themselves whether they want to talk about it or not. But, I mean, that should be something that I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with it being common knowledge. To everyone.
Yeah,
right.
There's nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah, it's just hard, though, sometimes, because, like my business and stuff, I got customers and stuff that are Jehovah's Witnesses, they Christians, they Muslims, they Five Percenters, you know. They got all kind of different beliefs and stuff like that, but, I mean, I try and keep my private life and my business life apart from them. I mean, sometimes, you know, through internet and technology, people will get your phone number and they'd be like, oh, I can't believe your Facebook page. The stuff you put on there and stuff, you know, and it comes out sometime, but, you know, I try and keep my business and my private life, you know, separate for my business to keep my household straight. Comes out like the first, you know, people be like, oh, he's an atheist, and then they get into the drinking blood and everything else and stuff, you know. But it's just something you have to deal with sometimes.
And tell them to read a damn book or something. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Right. No, but just to kind of go into that a little bit more, now I'm going to pull Raina into this since she's our resident neuroscientist here. Basically, learned behavior. A lot of the believers, you know, they basically live and act the way that they do because of learned behavior. You know, just your professional opinion, Raina, how do we turn that back? How do we turn that off? How do we get them to recognize
it's like anything else,
learned behavior?
It's like anything else. It's I said it's like anything else, it's repetition and practice. I mean, that's why it usually takes so long for someone who grew up a particular way to change their habit, you know? I mean,
mm-hmm.
I was only what you might call religious for maybe 17 years, but it took nearly 10 years for me to, you know, shed all of my former behaviors.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's that way.
It takes time to transition. It's just, you know, your family, your job and stuff. It's just because, we really a minority. Like, I seen somebody on Facebook one time say, like, atheists are the new niggas and stuff. And, you know, it's truly a fact. I mean, because you can't go out and get respect from places like other people do. I mean, I don't know if Mendissa or Kim said earlier, like if you got pulled over by the police or something and you said something about, like, oh, well, I'm from, you know, Baptist, you know, Monumental, Seventh-day Adventist, whatever. You know, you could get props from them, like if you said you was, what do you call the people? I'm too buzzed right now. I'm trying to,
They certainly will try to pull that whole I am holier than thou. That doesn't mean it always works, but.
Like the Masons, they'll give them a leeway because most cops and government officials are, you know, Masons and stuff like that, and they'll get a pass. Like, if you're a Christian, you can pretty much get a pass because Officer so-and-so probably goes to your church or something, and you get a pass for it, you know. So it coincides together. Like, I had posted this thing on Facebook the other day about this girl. She was in this little town, this small town, I think it was Texas. And, you know, she had a problem in school. They found out she was an atheist, and she was a girl, and she was on the men's football team, the men's basketball team, and everything in school and stuff. And then, like, one day they had a group prayer at a basketball thing, and she just, like, went to the locker room, and then she just got, like, disowned in school with teachers and everything with us, like, giving her hell and stuff. And her father came up there, like, her mother and father were atheists and stuff. It was like, it looked like it was a kind of older show, but it was on 60 Minutes back in the day sometime. But she got a lot of hell and stuff because she was an atheist and she was, like, in a full Christian town, you know, and she went through a lot of, you know, turmoil and stuff just because she didn't believe in Jesus. And it was sad.
It was a real bad story.
One thing that we must understand, too, when we deal with people who do believe in deity or something of that nature, we have to treat it as what it is. It's basically a mental illness.
Yeah, like Bill Maher says, a neurological disorder. Yeah.
We really must treat it as such because when you are raised as a young child and indoctrinated into something that is make-believe and to come to grips with that situation, of something that, you know, you've seen your grandmother believe in and you might have seen, you know, relatives who you've loved in your life believe in, that's something very hard to break away from. And the one thing that I am glad to see, though, is that a lot of young people, especially today, nowadays, are starting to question that situation because they have more information at hand. And it may click earlier that, oh, this shit don't link up. You know what I mean? Because I've seen it with my own eyes. A lot of young people are starting to come out of the church because, you know, kids are smarter now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have a lot more information. They have a lot more information out there to where they can research on their own. That's why I don't know if you guys have noticed, but a lot of these Christian or religious colleges are really promoting hard, trying to get kids to come to their colleges again. So that they could teach their doctrine in college.
Yeah, even in the military, they've been doing that in the military. They've been, you know, discharging people and stuff pick a service to go to and stuff, they're really, you know, getting heavy on Christianity, you know, government and, you know, community-wise lately, you know, trying to, you know, really force people into that. You know, I mean, between the military and, like, different community functions and stuff, I wouldn't be surprised if in the next couple of years if they start telling people, like, you know, on government assistance or housing or EBT or something, that they have to, you know, what service do you go to every Sunday or something? Because it's getting to that point that they're trying to keep pushing it because they're losing all of their faith in their product, and, you know, they're not getting the money that they used to because times are getting hard and people are starting to look at, like, well, if God is so loving, why isn't he keeping my lights on or something? You know, I'm freezing in the house, or I don't got no food. I got four kids, or, you know, I've got, you know, this and that problem, and God's not looking out for me.
You still got people that are still paying tithes in foreclosure. So, I mean, it's deep. You know what I mean? It's a deep situation. Because anytime somebody can give a tithe rather than to make a payment on their house, that's a form of psychosis that I can't understand or comprehend.
It's like Christmas. I mean, people go out of their way on Christmas and spend money they don't have. They get loans and borrow money and stuff. And then by February, they're on the street or staying with their mama or their best friend and stuff like that. Christmas gets more people homeless and in debt than any other day of the year. And they blow it. They put all these lights up on the house and the tree and shit, and the house catches on fire because they didn't water the tree and all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
And it's insane. You know, they go all out of the way for something that's not even in the Bible. They don't say, you know, December 25th even in the Bible.
The craziest thing about that is how many people acknowledge that, you know, there's no way in hell Jesus would have been born around that time anyway. And a lot of believers, you know, it's an incredible thing when I talk to some believers who are still enough to tell me that they know the Bible's inaccurate, they know it's wrong, they know some stuff and then that's questionable, they know Jesus didn't do this, they know he wasn't born on December 25th. And yet they believe it. They believe in God anyway. And I'm like, that's an incredible thing. It's like me saying I believe people can fly without somebody inventing an airplane. I mean,
psychosis.
Yeah, it's
blasphemy.
You know,
the only other thing that gets you chased quicker than not believing in Jesus is saying you don't vote Democrat.
Yeah.
Well, if you tell me you're voting for Herman Cain, then it is going to get you
safe. Yeah, then they put him out there. I mean, that was like a low blow by the Republicans. They got this, you know, this Uncle Ruckus out there, you know, voting for president, hoping that everybody blacks going to vote for him and get him in the office and stuff. I mean,
I knew that last year they didn't want to do that, though. They called him the Republican debate. If you reverse 999, you get 666.
Right.
I wonder what kind of self-lying, self-illusion does it take for a man to willingly be up there talking all kinds of crazy good shit about a group of people that the other person who's running along with him has a rant called nigger head. And it's like, we're the ones that brainwashed. You have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
The problem is a lot of Americans don't like to go to shrinks, and a lot of us need to go because we got some mental issues that need to be dealt with.
Yeah.
And that's the true. I mean, it's a joke, but it's the truth. You know, a lot of people have some mental issues that need to be dealt with that are not being dealt with, and they don't want to deal with them. So that's the problem.
Yeah, just pray about it. And I was told by somebody that one, a friend of hers had that as a birth control method. Just pray about it.
Oh,
it didn't work.
Stop lying.
Right.
It didn't work four times, tell you.
Hell, I mean, shit, that's what it seems like half of them have, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Mario,
you said
can't stop
use
lying
condoms
on your life.
Because, you know, condoms, you know, you can't use no condoms, so, you know, you got to pray about it, I guess, right? The condoms are not no good.
That wouldn't be the religion for me. That chick, that one lady got like 20 kids now. She having kids while her daughters are having kids. That's what kind of junk is that?
Well, you could have sex standing up on your tiptoes.
Yeah, but it's so easy for them. They can do whatever they want because, I mean, if they went and robbed the bank and, you know, shot the teller in the head, all they have to do is come out and say, the devil made me do it. You know, no matter what they do, the devil made them do it.
They're still going to jail, though. The good thing about
it,
though, is that they're still going to jail nowadays.
Yeah.
They can do all that and say, the devil made me do it.
Lock them up now, but like back in the day, I think like in the 80s they finally, you know, cut that shit out when, you know, people was, you know, killing their kids and drowning their kids and stuff. They're like, you know, we got to put this shit on the back burner because, when people keep killing their kids, like there was this man earlier this year, he took a 4-year-old child in the head because he said, oh, he's gay. And it was his stepson, and he shot him in the head, unloaded a .38 on the child in the head because he thought he was gay and he was a pastor. I had posted it on my site, on my Facebook a few times, but it was like he shot the child in the head straight up, but point blank in the head and unloaded it on him because he thought he was gay.
You know what? Those weren't even Christians, though. They were...
Hebrew,
you know, yeah, something like that. And that's what I was going to say. Yeah, it ain't Christianity ain't the only enemy we got here. We got that bullshit because a lot of people identify with say, hey, I got this group of black people who believe in something that's telling me something good that I want to hear. Let me roll with those people. And, you know,
when I
get into conversation with these people.
Yeah, well, they're doing that with, like, the African things, too, like Yoruba, you know what I mean, shit like that, too. You know, a lot of us is going over that because that's from the motherland, so that's different.
It's like all that stuff came from the same way. I mean, all that stuff came from Horus and Set. I mean, when you look at it, all that stuff from Judaism, Mormonism, all that stuff came from the same set. And they're like, the only one you can't, they pull out the ass, really, was Scientology. And when they said the world like 14 trillion years old and all kind of shit, the rest of that stuff all came from the same basis. Like Jesus, there was like, you know, Messiah for like 1400 years before him. They had the same dialogue and miracles and shit and born of a virgin and walking on water. All that shit came from the same place. They just redid the story. It's just like a new version of this comic book over and over again, you know. We're going to make it better this time. We're going to make it better this time. It's all the same bullshit. They're just trying to make it better. I mean, really, they need to make a new Jesus story to make it more better. Give Jesus a gun. You know, make Jesus a little more entertaining. It's 2011. Make Jesus more entertaining. Let Jesus, you know, shoot the devil in the heart or something, and he lives and comes back to kill him again or something. Make the story a little more entertaining because it's too, you know, passive now. You know, we're society, and, you know, you got all these Christians, and they fight wars, and they go and shoot Bin Laden in the head and got fucking dogs with fronts in their mouth coming to rip his balls off and shit. You know, make the story, if y'all want to practice hate, you know, change the scriptures and say that Jesus wants to kill people because y'all go to countries and kill all the dark people all day. So say Jesus said kill somebody. Change the story.
Did you see Passion of the Christ? That shit was gruesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and, but
that.
They bring children in to see it. But the same movie, they'll let the children come in and see it, but then, you know, they'll say, watched a man get brutalized for like over an hour, and it's okay. But then, like, oh, my child can't watch this movie or something. You know, they're smoking weed. That's a demon seed, and like the marijuana thing. That's such bullshit. I like they'll say they follow the whole Bible, and then you know they'll say in Genesis, everything's useful on the world, every plant, every seed. But then the marijuana's a demon seed and shit. You know, it's overkill and bullshit.
Well, the thing I was going to say is, you know, you take this whole thing about the Passion of the Christ. You know, I remember when Mortal Kombat was coming out. There was a big thing about censorship then.
The blood.
Beavis and Butthead.
Yep.
When Beavis said fire, 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 there was a big thing about that. When other cartoons and other elements come out, there's a whole big problem with the violence and the cussing and everything. Movie comes out about a dude named Jesus being getting his ass kicked for an hour and a half, and not only is it completely okay, we getting church buses to go see this movie. Made by a dude, as it turns out, was an anti-Semite. So, I went to see that movie purely because I kept seeing everything about it. And there were people there sitting there crying. I'm like, how the fuck do you know this shit even happened? I'm like, you don't even know that's the way it happened. You know, he's saying that's the way it happened because he's making a movie.
Because they're making an emotional plea for it to be real.
I had somebody so pissed the other day. I told them that, like the Passion of Christ was like really no good because I like Jesus was supposed to be a God and he had one movie and he gets no sequel. But like Thor's already got two movies coming out next. So like Jesus sucked. And it's like, yes, blasphemy. Thor's a way older guy, and he's got more movies coming out still. Follow Thor,
The thing about it, though, is that historians are saying that movie is not historically accurate at all. But people in the church take that as, you know, that's their new, what's that? What's the movies that came out in the 80s with the rapture and all that? Damn, what's that series of movies when
Left Behind.
That's
like atheist trivia. But you know what? I have a question. Do we have anyone in the free thought community? You know, do we have any filmmakers? Do we have anyone
the cat that did the recent movie that has Terrence Howard, The
Matthew
Ledge or The Edge?
Oh, The Ledge! That's my movie. I love The Ledge. The Ledge and Sunset Vivid.
I don't know who the director was, but the guy who wrote the movie is actually like the great grandson of Darwin.
Great grandson
of Darwin.
Myself, Mandy and Sharon saw that when we was at the convention and whatnot, and you know, it did touch on some very important points, but I think it seemed like it was trying to hold back or something. It wasn't. There were some things I wish that it had said that it didn't, and whatever.
Well, you got to understand too. He was pitching that to the movie industry.
We couldn't get too touchy, but it was good.
You know, another one that was good that I think everybody needs to The Man from Earth is on Netflix. If y'all check that out, it's a good movie.
What's it called?
The Man from Earth. The Man from
Earth. I saw that. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one, too. I think the director in that one is an actual atheist, too. That was a good movie. But I don't know. See, that's the weird thing in the movie industry also. There are a lot of free-thinking people that are just not out, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to see Morgan Freeman. I'd like to see him do a movie, you know, because he's not about all that shit neither, but
He can't get out and do a movie like how he's coming out.
But he's friendly. He's friendly to us, though. That is the one thing about Morgan Freeman. He is free. He is very friendly to the atheist community. So I guess that's good enough for him.
I heard Morgan say he's happy that slavery did occur. So I got my opinions on him.
So
all
yeah.
I've heard some fools too.
He said Morgan made a statement that he was glad slavery happened.
I think you're
taking that out of context.
With the guy Jesse Lee Peterson, the reverend. That guy. I think you're getting him confused with Morgan Freeman.
No, both of them said that Peterson is recent. Morgan did say that, though.
I got a YouTube that or something. The last real sellout that I've been trying to reach, I've been calling this show for like a month trying to get in to Steve Harvey. I want to put him on blast.
Oh, no. Stop it.
I want to personally, while I'm on radio, and hopefully if he listens, say fuck him and, you know, call me because I'm going to holler at you. I hope you listen to this. I'm going to curse your ass out. For real, because he went off on all of us, you know. I mean, y'all heard, like, Steve Harvey on Larry King and stuff?
Talk about
atheists? Yeah, he, you know, straight up, you know, pissed on us and stuff. And I'm waiting for the day I can get on his show one morning.
But you know what? I'm not mad at him because you know what? If he's a staunch believer in what he believes, he's supposed to do that. You know what I mean? So I'm not mad at him. He's delusional. He's delusional. So therefore, he should make statements like that.
Yeah,
but
he made a statement, but I don't want to make my rebuttal to him. I'm just the type of dude to tell him off.
But that's one of the main reasons why we have organizations that we're trying to build, is that, you know, when people make off-the-cuff asinine statements like that, we can also come back and debunk all that nonsense also.
True that.
You know, so
well, I mean, if anybody got any power to get involved to get him, please let me know. Catch me, Rhetoric Esoteric on Facebook, or Frank Jones, 808@gmail.com, and let me know, and I want to holler at him. If you can ever get in touch with him, I want to holler at him personally.
Very entertaining.
I love to holler at him personally, because I love to catch dude and tell him how I feel about his comments, because I really ain't like that. Cause, I mean, he went on, you know, nationwide TV and dissed us, and I mean, he might as well talk about
but
my
I mean,
mama, man, because
I
want daddy.
But I mean, but he's just one of the many, because, you know, like Tavis Smiley, what's the other cat?
Yeah, he's a sellout.
What's the cat that he got the show with? The professor. Carnell West, yes.
Carnell West,
I mean, they do the same thing. I mean, but like I said, for us to build organizations that we're trying to build and putting together, it's up to us to debunk these crazy notions that these cats are putting out. And see, that's the difference between now and back then. See, they could get away with saying stuff without ever having someone basically confront them on their statement. Now we can actually come back at them. You know what
exactly.
I mean? And we have the power to do that. So I think those are things that we definitely have to do and stand up for, not to just get rolled on because somebody said some nonsense. Challenge them on their nonsense.
Exactly. No, that's healthy. It's healthy for us to challenge them on their nonsense. It's healthy for us to, you know, again, get out there and engage them. And, you know, I agree wholeheartedly with that. And that's why it's important that we engage each other and share information, because there are quite a few of us out there, but some of them don't know how to put together or formulate a solid argument. And many of them, you know, are intimidated because, you know, especially the ones that have just left the faith. You know, basically, they're still, you know, walking the line. They're still on the borderline. So they're not sure what to say. But, I mean, I've seen some people get truly emboldened. If you saw how they used to react and how they react now, you would see the transition. So, I mean, as we educate each other, educate ourselves, and engage, and that's the reason why, you know, I kind of think it's healthy to engage people, you know, again, on Facebook and some of these blogs or what have you,
is because it helps to strengthen our resolve. It helps us to strengthen our arguments, which is why I don't turn away from people who have dissenting views, because I look at it as a learning tool. I look at it as a resource, and I'll go back and look up what they're talking about and go back and reformulate my argument. So that's why I don't get upset when I have people who believe, you know, who are on the opposite side of the bar. I don't get upset about that at all. I actually welcome it, because all they're doing is helping me to sharpen my claw. That's it.
You didn't see the lunatic in the forum, did you?
Okay. You learn how to not take offense to that. You have to grow a thick skin. You know, just for those of you who are kind of new to this, you're going to have to grow a thick skin, and it's best that you get your practice out online, because when these people start confronting you face-to-face, toe-to-toe, then, you know, you have to have your poker face. You got to have your poker face, and you have to be ready. Yeah. You have to be sharp. You got to keep those skills keen, and you have to be able to answer them back instantaneously, because they will run you the freak over.
And you will be
I totally agree with you that that sucker went into racism and all kinds of other BS, and I don't play that shit.
There's going to be multiple policies at play. They're not going to just pick one policy and go with it. They're going to throw out about 18 different things that are wrong on different levels. You're going to have to be able to separate them out. Is there a child being killed? I'm thirsty, and I haven't had my choking blood today, so.
He's trying to choke the Jesus out of him.
Somebody need to mute their phone.
Exactly. But, no, that's the reason why, that's the reason why when I posted a link to a page that tells you about the different arguments, you need to be able to identify the difference between a circular argument and an appeal to authority. And you need to know the difference between these so that you can engage them appropriately. And so when you tell them apples and oranges, you'll be able to effectively explain why it's apples and oranges. So it's some education on our end, too.
Yes. Definitely agree about that.
Yeah, and it's great, to have people like Raina around because, again, she deals with a lot of neuroscience and, I like to delve a little bit into psychology and all of that. And I think that's probably why in some cases I take a little bit more of a passive role when dealing with believers, because I do understand in many cases, it is because of conditioning. It is because of, social conformity. And I was once one of them. So, I try to look at it from both perspectives.
I think that was an RPG-er, though.
Go ahead, honey. Huh?
I think that was an RPG-er, though, or 3.45% or something.
What? Oh, Mario, you're still going in on that boy. You're still going in on that dude.
That's too funny.
Well,
what's the name of your blog again, Raina?
It's Rose to Reality at WordPress.
So rosetoreality.wordpress.com.
Yeah, it's not spelled like the road that you drive on. It's R-H-O-A-D-E-S.
Oh, so you got to be unique.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, check out her blog. It is what it is.
There you go. But, check out her blog. She posted, an article or narrative most recently, and it was very well written. It was a very good, piece. And so we look forward to hearing more from Raina. She's getting her voice out there now, so, we're really proud of that. And, those of you that do have, your blogs and all of that, feel free to post it on the wall. That's not an issue for me. You can go ahead and post it on the wall, and, definitely we will support you guys. But, thank you. We just want to thank everyone who called in today, that participated in the chat room, that listened in, the people who are going to enjoy the archives. We've had some wonderful people calling in today. And, we just look forward to the future support. We thank you for the support that you've already given us. And, we have, some things that we need to tackle and some subject matters because, there will come a time when we will have to deal with some subject matters basically that's going to be uncomfortable for those in the free thought community, because there are some things that definitely need to be addressed on this end as well. So, you know, it's going to be fair pretty much across the board there. But we're looking forward to it. So next week we'll have the L.A. Black Skeptics Group. I know Sakivu will be on the show, Jeffrey will be on the show, and a few other people. So we're looking forward to that. I'm going to do the storyboard for that tonight and send out the invites, like maybe Monday or Tuesday of this week. But, yes, you know, we're looking forward to that. And, you know, again, some exciting things coming up. We're going to have another show with the young people again, presenting that forum to, again, continue to encourage them and, you know, motivate them and support them as they move on, because we need to kind of mentor and groom this next generation. You know, we definitely need to do that if we're going to be able to continue to push this free thought movement, if you will. So, you know, again, we're going to go ahead and end this. Well, we thank everybody for calling in. We thank everybody for your support. We're looking forward to seeing from you all next week. You know, hit us up with an email, hit us up with an inbox, post on the wall. We're friendly. And, you know, AJ, thank you very much for calling in, and we want to tell everybody about the rally reason and that's going to take place next year with American Atheists.
It was a pleasure. It's American Atheists and 14 other national atheist organizations. It's going to be on March 24th, 2012, on the National Mall in Washington, D.C.
All right.
Rallyreason.org. So you all
Reason
Rally. Reason, I'm sorry. Okay, ReasonRally.org. My dyslexia is coming out there. But, yeah, so there you go, guys. And Mandisa will be speaking at the Splash Conference in Florida. That information was posted. You'll be able to find it on her wall, my wall. I sent it out to Tumblr and Twitter. So the information
is on there. American Atheist.
Yes, Slash is a partner, the local partner
exactly.
for that event. But, yes, it is an American Atheist event.
Excellent, excellent. And, again, we wanted to give everybody a heads up. Next year, the African Americans for Humanism will be holding their conference in Chicago, April 2012, and, you know, basically we're working on putting the final touches on that. So just keep your eyes open. We'll keep you posted. We're going to promote it because we want, you know, we want a great turnout. They had a fantastic turnout a couple of years ago. We want to build the momentum. We want to keep it going. We want to increase it. So we are looking forward to you guys, and we thank you for supporting our endeavors, and have a great rest of your Sunday afternoon here. And thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Yeah, see, I have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
Hello.